all this afternoon.
Going to bring the Agriculture, Environment, Natural Resources Finance Committee to order. And we are working on putting together the budget bills. I will start off, because we have a quorum, I think we'll go ahead and do the minutes of the meeting first, the past minutes that are in your packet. We have the minutes of Thursday, April 6th. And the Representative, Peterson is here. Representative Peterson moves the minutes of April 6th. Are there any additions or corrections? Okay, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails. Minutes are approved. And members, just like to give you an idea as to how I'd like to proceed today, because we're having some significant conflict. I know that people have been working on amendments and things have, you know, kind of gotten backed up a little bit in that area. We also have several other committees that are meeting because of deadlines, and there's members of this committee have major bills that are up in some of those committees. And so I'm trying to work through that this morning, and as you know, I've been kind of out of the loop for the past couple of days, so I'm kind of playing catch-up myself. And I don't like to do things kind of on the fly. I'd rather have us really kind of pay attention as to what's happening. And be able to know what it is that we're actually dealing with. So what I've done is I've asked Representative Magnus if he would start off this morning and address the agricultural bill and go over it. I'm going to go over the spreadsheets, talk about some of the amendments. If things are non-controversial, you can go ahead and put some of those things together. And then going to have a call for a recess of this committee, and we will then come back in the basement hearing room at 12:30. That's when the full Environment Committee was scheduled, and Representative Hackbarth has agreed that he will postpone whatever he had on his agenda today for the Policy Committee, and then we'll be able to use the Policy Committee's time. So that's what I think that will give us more opportunity to sit and kind of have good full discussion of our issues. It also gives, if there's people that are still working on amendments or whatever, it gives them as well as staff a little bit of a breather so we can kind of deal with these issues. And if you'd leave your information in your folders whenever we recess today, put it all into your folder so all staff has to do is take what's in the folder. If you leave it on the table, we're going to figure it's something you're ready to discard. So when you go to leave, we'll remind you again. But when you go to leave, put things in your folder. With that, members, I think I will turn this over to Representative Magnus, and then we will, and I believe Mr. Reinholtz, and they will start the committee out this morning. And I'm going to excuse myself, go to another committee meeting. I'll be back. Are there any questions that members have at that point? Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Did you say we're going to take the omnibus environment bill at 12:30? Is that
good? That's correct, and we will finish up the omnibus agricultural bill at that time. Not really.
So we won't finish it this morning.
Not this morning. No, we want to keep both bills open for this afternoon because there's several members that are going to be in and out and may not have kept pace with what the committee has been able to do. And I think that may be helpful. Members, when we, when you finish, when you've gone as far as you can with the ag bill, with regard to, and without closing it up, but having it completed as much as possible with non-controversial type things, and you're setting that aside, you might want to consider having Mr. Reinholtz give you a walkthrough of the spreadsheet on environment and before you close up today, depending upon what your timeline is. But that would at least make it so when we get started at 12:30, we can actually have both bills that we're ready to deal with amendments at that point and finish up. Are there any questions on that process? Okay, Representative Magnus, I'm going to step out and you'll take over here. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. They won't get confused. the people at the table.
Mr. Ryan Holtz, would you walk us through the agricultural spreadsheet this morning here?
Mr. Chairman, members, what I'll be referring to is a two-page spreadsheet. You should have, and up on the top, it will, in the second line, it will say agriculture. Should have been put in your folder, I believe. Pretty small bill, obviously, and if you recall, this bill was given by the Ways and Means Resolution, $1 million worth of target money to spend. So I will just go down the list, indicating where those dollars were spent. If you begin with the Ag Department, on line 7 is the first item. It is the invasive species staffing. That was in the governor's requested budget at $248,000. In the chairman's rec, it is listed at $105,000 for 06 and 07, all the funding being in year 07. Line 8 is the livestock crop compensation item. That also was in the governor's requested budget at $93,000. The chairman's rep contains that at that level of $93,000 for the 06 and 07. The line on 9 was the governor's rec that has no fiscal effects in 06 and 07, so I'll move down to line 10. The marketing bioenergy item that was requested by the governor, $225,000, is in the chairman's rec at $75,000. The next item, the biocontainment facility operation, this was a governor's recommendation at $190,000. It's in the chairman's rec at $140,000. Items 12, 13, and 14 were bills brought before the committee, are not in the chairman's rec. Line 15 is the beekeeping regs repeal. That was House File 3442, is in the chairman's rec. It is listed here as a reduction in appropriations to the department that is also has a corresponding reduction in revenue to the department on that item. Those are the changes in the chairman's rec in the Ag Department. As you see it on line 24, the total of those changes is $387,000 in the supplemental funding for 06-07 out of the general fund. I've moved now to the Board of Animal Health. That would be one change item on line 31. It was for the bovine tuberculosis request that was in the governor's recommendation at $685,000. Is in the chair's recommended items at $587,000 for the 2 years. That is the only item in the Board of Animal Health. I'd ask to move to page 2. And page 2 is really just summaries. It shows that on line 39, this bill contains $974,000 of new general fund spending. And if you go then down to line 47, where revenue changes are summarized, the beekeeping bill 3442, the repeal of the regulations, cost the general fund $26,000 over the biennium. You take that $974 spending and the $26,000 of lost revenue, and you go down to line 53, and this bill's net effect is $1 million, which puts it right on the target. Mr. Chairman, members, I thought I'll go quickly through the bill, if that's what you would wish. As you should have at the top, A06-1485 is the Omnibus Agriculture Bill. It's a delete-all amendment to House File 3810. I'll just walk through the sections quickly because they mostly just reflect the spreadsheet. Section 2 on line 1.16 is the appropriations for the Department of Agriculture. And as you see, it's just the first subdivision is just the total. Second subdivision implements the invasive species item requested. Subdivision 3 on 1.26 is the livestock depredation and crop damage appropriation. If you move to second page, 2.4 is the appropriation for the biofuels marketing. 2.9 is the appropriation for the biocontainment facility. 2.12 is the reduction in the apiary appropriation due to the elimination of beekeeping registration. 2.16 is the Board of Animal Health. It was just that one item for bovine tuberculosis. And Section 4 is changes made to the statute on the livestock owner compensation that goes along with that appropriation up on Subdivision 3. This was in the governor's recommendation. Moving on to page 3, Section 5, once again, what Section 5 is doing, it was in the governor's bill, is putting a cap on the total amount of claims that may be paid in any year on the crop damage program. Section 6 is a technical change that the department requested related to the changes. This was changes were made last year. Major changes were made in this nursery and phytosanitary account, and they wanted the department requested this minor clarification here. Section 7 is the language repealing the beekeeper statutes and the registration of that and making changes on that section. Moving on to that file, Section 8 is also related. Section 8 is was language requested by the Board of Animal Health related to the bovine tuberculosis. You see the change is down on 4.16 through 4.19. Section 9 is just the repealers, and most of that is the repeal of the beekeeping registration. 17.10, I believe, is statute related to the requirements of a report to be delivered to the legislature that the department and the governor requested to be repealed. Section 10 is the effective dates. Mr. Chairman, members, small bill, that's the AGRA omnibus bill.
Any questions of Mr. Reinholtz on the bill? Yes. Members, we have several amendments before us, and I would point out from the discussions we had with the chairman earlier that I had with the chairman earlier this morning, if you do have an amendment up today, and you do have a cost of that amendment, as you can see, we're at the $1 million supplemental target that we've hit, so any costs that are incurred by your amendment will have to be replaced by something else that the chairman has recommended on our spreadsheet here this morning. So anyone have any questions about that? Any other questions for the bill as presented or the supplemental budget as presented? If not, we'll start on the amendments. No, I think we go through the non-contract. Yeah. Members, let's start with... We can go through the amendments. Okay. Members, let's start with the amendment titled AO6-1437. Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members. This is the, you may recall a while back we had some folks from, I believe, Representative Peterson's district, but close to your district. Mr. Gibson and others talking about trying to use various products, switchgrass, hazelnuts, and others for renewable energy. And the bill as presented that day had a fiscal cost of about $2.5 million. And understanding the constraints of our budget at this time, what I did was amend this to simply ask that the Department of Agriculture study this issue and how we can proceed with other alternative renewable energy sources. And that's basically what it is.
Mr. Chair, Representative Dunkey.
So, Representative, the department will do this for nothing now?
Yes, Representative Dunkey, I'm sure that they will.
Okay. Well, Representative Dunkey and Erdahl, I would ask the department, there's several amendments here that are calling for studies or whatnot, and I would ask the department to come up and
tell us
and testify to that if they're going to take it out of Commissioner Asmus's salary, or where is this coming from? Well, while Commissioner Asmus is coming down, I would step back a second, and Representative Osmond, it's your delete all bill. Would you want to move the bill, and we'll vote on that? Vote on the delete all?
You can, Chair, what I suggest is that you move the bill and then have the move the amendment, the delete everything amendments, and then have put that into the bill, and then you can add all your other amendments
Mr.
to it.
Mr. Chair? Yes. Oh, you're going to put it into the bill then?
I would.
So otherwise, you can't do amendments to the amendments.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, otherwise we'd get backed up on them. So yeah. We'd have to actually move it.
Yeah. First, we'll move the bill, House File 3810. And we're moving that to the floor.
Ways and Means.
Ways and Means. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Representative Osmond moves the House File 3810 to go to Ways and Means. Any questions? All those in favor say aye.
No? We're not moving the file. Oh, we haven't done any amendments yet,
okay.
Mr. Chair.
You're right. Okay.
It's before us. Now move the delete.
Now we'll move the delete all. The delete all number is 806-1485. I'll move the delete all amendment to the bill. Any questions on the delete all? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. That motion carries. No. Commissioner Austin. We have, I don't know if you've seen all the amendments, but as I indicated earlier, there are several of them. One of them starting out with the amendment 1437 from Representative Erdahl that are calling for studies. We don't see any appropriations for these. Representative Junkie has one later on. Milk volume production study, funding studies. Commissioner Asas, how's the department intend to handle these?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Perry Austin, Deputy Commissioner, Minnesota Department of Ag. It appears that we're going to be quite busy over the summer. That's not a bad thing. Regarding the amendments on the productive conservation working land study, I have to be honest, I haven't talked to the author of the amendment about that yet. I would think we could do it, but maybe if we're going to be coming back later on today, I'd like to have an opportunity to talk to the author and make sure I understand fully what his intentions are and then come back and indicate whether we can.
Okay.
If that'd be agreeable with the author.
Sure. Mr. Chair.
Representative Dunkey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As long as he's there and you mentioned the amendment I have later. The amendment I have later is a study. It's a Welty bill. It's actually on the General Register now. And testimony and egg policy was that was no cost. So I just want to affirm that. Then you don't have to come back, though.
And mine's even smaller.
But you didn't talk to him.
Mr. Chair, Representative Dunkey, you're correct. That is one that I know we discussed earlier and agreed that we would do that. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Osmond.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Commissioner, I think it'd be helpful if you could, when you come back, also give us an idea of these different studies as to what the actual cost is. Not that you're, and you're also with your willingness then to absorb that cost, because then that gives the committee an idea as to how much we have oversupplied revenues to the departments with regard to your ability to do studies, or if it's a fact that you're able to redirect staff in order to, from other issues. What are those things that are they're not going to be able to carry out because of these? So I think I just like to get a perspective of how the decision making process is occurring in the department.
Mr. Chair, we can do that. I guess I'm only aware of two studies right now. Maybe there are other amendments I haven't seen yet this morning. So
we can
do that and come back later and explain that.
Representative Wagenius?
Thank you. Representative Berdahl, I would be wanting you to think about having this be done in collaboration with the DNR. And the reason I would suggest that is you talked about switchgrass. I thought that's what I heard you say.
I must have said something else.
Okay. That's a native species. And one of the things that we maybe as a state should consider, since we are doing a lot of prairie restoration for habitat, which is a good thing because it's great habitat, one of the ways to manage that is to cut it every couple of years, which means it could be used for a renewable energy crop. That would be the cellulose that you need. And those kinds of crops don't need to be fertilized because they have already things that are in there that fix nitrogen and, you know, plants within. And probably don't need much pest management because they survive without pest management. So that might be something I wouldn't want to be excluded as you look at renewable energy crops that maybe these two departments could look together. It is a suggestion, that's all.
Yeah, thank you, Representative Guinness. I will consult with DNR as well as
and when we come back this afternoon, we can, if you want to do that, Representative Erdahl, between the times and will.
Thank you.
Any other discussion on the 1437 amendment? If not, we'll lay that one over until later on today. The next one, next one I have is H3810A4, Representative Pennis.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This amendment gives some authority to the department. I'm going to sneeze. To the Board of Animal Health, and you can see the new language. And what it is allowing them to do the tests necessary to get our TB-free status back. Keep track of the disease. It is language that the department wanted, the Board of Animal Health, and I don't know if there's anyone here to speak to it any further. There is, Mr. Chair. So if I could have her speak to it.
Okay. We have someone to testify on the bill, on the amendment?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Chris Petrini. I'm Assistant Director with the Board of Animal Health. And this amendment only gives us the authority to do those tests that are required in order to regain our status back as a TB-free state, or if we end up having to do testing for a different status, it would also help in that regard as it relates to tuberculosis. Although many of the producers are willing to cooperate, there's always going to be a few people that we need maybe a little bit more authority to force the issue.
Hey, any questions of the testifier? Any questions to the amendment then? I think it's basically just a technical change to what we've already had when we delete all, Representative Pennis. So.
I do think it gives a little more, as she said, authority, and sometimes we don't like that, but this is a necessity. We need to get our TB-free status back.
Okay. So. Thank you for your testimony.
We'll go ahead and vote on this amendment. I don't see this as a controversial amendment, just a technical change. So if there's no further discussion on the amendment, we'll go ahead and vote. All those in favor of the H3810A4 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Amendment carries. Include that in our bill. Members, next, before I forget about it, we'll do the Representative Osment. We'll move the H3810A6 amendment to deal with state fair camping areas.
We don't have that.
Is it being handed?
It's being handed out.
Okay. I see Representative Osmond, you have a couple blanks there. Do you know which page this is going to, page and line this is going to affect?
We'll just have, it's a standalone amendment, so we'll just have staff decide where it would actually go. Mr. Chair, if I could, the Minnesota Street Rod Association is one of the largest volunteer car associations in the country. It has about 18,000 family members, and it's actually sponsors a Back to the 50s activity in the state of Minnesota. It's a family event. 2006 will be the 33rd annual Back to the 50s event, and it takes about 3,300 volunteers just to work that event. And the children are, you know, free in attendance, and we have, I think, all, they're looking at about 10,000 people that attend this event. So it's the second largest car show in the nation, and we have they pay about $300,000 rent to the state fairgrounds, and takes up just about the entire area of the state fairgrounds. Because of that, there's a significant number of people that are come into the to the area, and they occupy the hotel rooms in the area, but they've also in past years been able to at times been able to utilize the campgrounds at the state fair. But we've had some changes to where we now need to make a little bit of a change in the law in order to allow them to continue that use. And if I could have a testifier from the Street Rod Association come up and kind of explain the reason or need for this bill. I appreciate that, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Please state your name for the record, who you represent, Bill.
Certainly, Mr. Chairman. My name is Bill Strasinski, and I'm representing the Minnesota Street Rod Association, and I'm a street rodder. I have a 1939 Pontiac that will be the Back to the 50s again for the 15th year for that car, at least, in the third week in June. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Representative Osmond, for this particular amendment. We draw about 100,000 people, spectators, to the state fairgrounds, and last year we had over 11,000 cars registered. And it's a pretty big deal. In fact, it's the second largest car show in the United States, and we have people came from over 32 states last year, and we had 400 international visitors alone, and we have a lot of exhibitors besides. So it's a very big event, needless to say. I just became aware of a problem that just the other day, whereby the fairgrounds, the state fair board, has told us that we are going to lose 289 campsites this year under some rules and regulations, I think, from the Department of Health. And so we're asking for some relief from those rules and regulations. In fact, the state fair board, just so you know, did pass a bill last year through the legislature that exempted themselves from those rules and regulations during the event of the state fair. And, Mr. Chairman, 289 campsites is absolutely critical to us. And, in fact, if you calculate it out at $15 a day, I figured the state fair is going to lose another $17,000-plus in revenue that we would normally pay to them. So we're looking for some help in adopting this amendment. It just gives us an exemption from those same rules and regulations that the state fair has during the state fair time. And we'll have to follow the same criteria they do, but for our four-day event. I would, you know, it's a very big deal. We have 750 exhibitors, for example, and there's millions of dollars worth of equipment on the ground from exhibitors alone, let alone the automobiles and things. So we would appreciate the committee's support to include this particular amendment into your bill.
Okay.
Time for questions.
Any questions of Mr. Brzezinski? Representative Junkie?
Well, just to the amendment and the author, Representative Eisman, I support this, and in fact, I remember redoing the bill for the fair a few years ago. That was in a committee we were on, and the fair actually, I think, we didn't probably have to do it, but we did it to firm up. The fair was already autonomous, and the Department of Health really had no right to come in and tell them how to run their fairground campsites. But that being said, we did put in all the rules you see below this and allowed them then an exemption from the state health rules. Rather than, my question is, Representative Eisman, and I've talked to your testifier about this yesterday too, rather than, again, I can see this starting every year now, we're going to come back and there'll be another event out there that wants campsites or wants to camp. Why wouldn't we write this so that, you know, something like on the order of the state fairgrounds during the state fair and may operate a campground for other events throughout the year? So it encompasses anything that they want to operate on behalf of the fairgrounds, and we don't have to come back every time there's an event. I'm wondering if we could develop some language to save us some work in the future.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Eisman?
Representative Junkie, I certainly will work on that because I agree that would probably be the wisest way to go, but we probably need some public input on that broad of an approach, and we really haven't had the opportunity to do that. Because this is an event that's coming up in the very near future, we wanted to do this piece of legislation, but I agree with you that I think that's the approach we should take, and we'll work in that direction.
Okay, any other testifiers to the amendment? Any further questions from the committee? If not, all those in favor, including H3810A6 amendment as presented, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Amendment is included into the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the
committee. Thank you. Members, next we'll have the Junkie Amendment, H3810A2. Representative Junkie?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll move that. And this is the Welty bill I talked about. It came through Ag Policy. It's out on the General Register. And talking to Representative Davids, the chair of the Ag Policy Committee, and others, we thought it'd be a good idea to have this run in a couple ways. You know how the General Register goes. And it was non-controversial, passed out of Ag Committee, Mr. Chair, unanimously. And this is the one that the commissioner testified on earlier, that there's no cost to it. So I'd ask for the support now to put it in this omnibus bill and move it forward.
Any discussions to the amendment? Anyone testifying for or against the amendment? And Representative Junkie, just for my assurance, there would be, you've talked to the department about this? For the cost to cover?
He was just up there and talked about it.
All right.
5 minutes ago.
Okay. Seeing no further discussion, do we have a motion from Representative Junkie to approve the H3810A2 amendment and include that in the bill? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. That one is included also. Representative Junkie, you have another one before us, the 3810A5 amendment.
Okay. Mr. Chair, that is again, the beekeeper amendment that went through policy and landed here, and we'd like to put it in the bill. It includes, actually what this is, the bee stuff is already in the bill, we already adopted. This is, when you look at subdivision 4, last year, inadvertently, in one of the omnibus bills, we removed the section where the commissioner has the opportunity to perform inspections on beehives traveling interstate back and forth. So technically, they don't have the authority to do those inspections, and they've been doing them for a year. So we're just kind of a technical correction here to put it back in and make sure that they have the authority to do those inspections on interstate bee travel.
it's really a technical amendment, now that I look at it. That's it. I would also add, I guess I can add, because I'm going to talk about this later perhaps. You see the fee, you see the department, when we sunset the beekeepers, they're losing $13,000 a year in fees that they charge the beekeepers. And I suggest that an updated fiscal note may show some of that being recovered in the fees that they can collect for inspections, which I don't know that that ever showed up on the fiscal note. And I think it would be interesting to see their new fee schedule for this, and I think it will offset an amount of money there. And I may talk about that later for you somewhere else, so that's why I just want to bring that up. It has really nothing to do with this other than it'd be interesting to see a fiscal note on the fees here, but that's for future discussion. This just gives them the authority to do the inspections.
All right. Anyone wishing to, in the audience wishing to testify for or against the A5 amendment? Okay, seeing no one, any further questions from the committee? If not, all those in favor of the A5 amendment inclusion in our bill signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion carries. All right, next one will be the A1 amendment, the H3810A1, Representative Junkie again.
Mr. Chair, this was a bill that is Representative Pawlowski's bill that again came through policy. There's no fiscal cost, so it ended up on the general register. Again, in consultation with Representative Davids and Pawlowski and others, we thought it'd be best if we put it in this omnibus bill, too. Just briefly, there were some cows in southeast Minnesota that died from eating poisonous weeds by their shed. And this bill then asked now for some signage, basically, or some suggested signage that we can put in nursery that would warn of the toxicity of those nursery plants that go out. And for anyone that was on Ag Committee, they'll remember this. And again, it's strictly policy, asking for suggested signage and report back to us next year on what that signage should be. So fairly benign, but rather than leave it on the general register, we thought we should put it in here again and move it forward.
Okay. Anyone wishing to testify on the amendment, the A5 amendment? Yeah. Mr. Friesel? You state your name and who you represent for the record, please. And
yes, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Gere Friesel. I'm the director of the Plant Protection Division. We just wanted to make a few comments about this amendment. We're not asked for a fiscal note, but we do believe that there would be a potential cost for this study. It would involve us bringing together a group to review the issue. We are also concerned about the potential impacts, because there are quite a number of plants, not only horticultural plants, but even agronomic plants, that have varying levels of toxicity. So we think that this actually could be quite broad ranging. So we're concerned where this might take us. I know the nursery industry has some concerns as to whether or not this could lead to some labeling requirements, which would put the industry at somewhat of a competitive disadvantage with other states. And also we have some concerns about confusion that it may create with buyers of this nursery stock.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Junkie.
Well, Mr. Chair, and again, I find it interesting the department's here now. We had a lengthy discussion down in policy on this. I don't think there was one no vote against it. And it's sitting out on the general register today, and now to come in, and I don't know if you've talked to Representative Pawlowski about this or the other authors, but to come in and jump this amendment here now, I guess I'm not, no one talked to me about it before either. Before this very minute, that there be any controversy on this at all. I don't know if you've talked to Representative Davids. I don't know. You know, we've had a lot of discussions on this, Mr. Chair and members, and I guess I'm a little miffed that you'd come up now and somehow try and scuttle this after it's already been passed. It's sitting on the general register, and everyone on the Ag Committee had a lengthy discussion, and we talked with the nursery growers that day, too. They were there testifying, and I remember that very well. So
you know, did you just notice this bill was moving now, or, you know, why now? I'm trying not to pick on you, but I am a little bit, because, you know, I don't like when this happens. You should really try and look us up and talk to us about this stuff. We like peace in the valley, Mr. Chair, as Representative David says.
I do too, and Representative Junkie, Representative McNamara talked to me about this bill, and he has some concerns. As you know, he's a background in nursery stuff, and so since the presentation came up, and Representative McNamara is here, if he wants to testify also. First, do you care to respond, Mr. Frizzo, to the Representative Junkie's questions?
Mr. Chair, Representative Junkie, I think our primary concern at this point is the cost to the department and what it would take to implement this study. And that's the primary point, I guess, I will put to make.
And again, Mr. Chair, where were we up till now? It's been sitting on the general register for a couple of weeks.
Mr. Chair.
Representative McNamara.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And
identify yourself, and we'll use for the tape. We'll go ahead and take your testimony if you have any on this.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Representative Denny McNamara from Hastings. Representative Junkie, it was I that brought it up to the department when I had no idea this bill was before us until I saw it on the general register. No one came to me, knowing my background of 30 years involved in this industry, and talked to me about this. And when I began to look into it and the effect it has on agriculture, potentially things like sorghum, white clover, potatoes, all could be considered toxic. And I just was surprised that this bill would not come to either Environment Natural Resource Policy or Environment Natural Resource Finance, especially in the thoughts for the fiscal impact this bill would have. And I got to be honest, I think it should go through the committee process, Mr. Chair, because it's a discussion that may need to take place. I don't even know if it does, but it certainly needs to take place in the right committees.
Anyone else wishing to testify on the bill?
Chair.
Representative Cornish.
You would be interested in laying this aside for an hour?
Mr. Chair, I can go talk to Pulowski and Davids and others about it if you want.
Representative Junkie, would you do that? And we'll hold this one over for now until we get later on today. Representative Hackbarth.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Representative Junkie, this is the first time I've seen this amendment, too, and I believe that Representative McNamara is correct, that this should have come to our committee. And you might also want to talk to Representative Wilkin, because of, you know, if you're going to, I think this is a commerce issue also. He might want to see this bill.
Well, and Mr. Chair, again, it's not my bill. I'll go tell Pulowski, and he can certainly have the conversations. I'm just offering it on his behalf. And David thought we should pull these off the general register and run them here. So.
Yeah, I understand that. Well, we'll just wait with that one until later on. We get some more information, more discussion on that one. So. Okay, which one is it? Okay. This one. Representative Junkie, we have another bill, another amendment to the bill coming out. I see it says fertilizer, so I assume it's yours.
It is.
We'll wait till the members get it just a second here. It's the members, it's the A8 amendment. Everyone have it? Would you care to move the amendment, Representative?
Mr. Chair, I'll move the amendment, and when you get it, I believe council down here has an amendment to the amendment that I'd like to incorporate. So.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead, Representative.
Well, Mr. Chair, if you could call on Colby down here to give us the amendment to the amendment.
Okay. Sullivan?
Mr. Chair, members, the amendment is to the H3810A8 amendment. It would clarify some of the administrative, who's doing what as far as administrative functions go with the program initially, and how much the department could, I guess, capture from revenues to pay for their portion in the first year. So on page 2, line 17, after the first word is but, right after that, insert after January 1st, 2008. So the line then would say, but after January 1st, 2008, the council may select a commissioner or any other person it deems fit to perform all other administrative duties. So I think the intent is that that would let the department, or require that the department be the administrative body in the first year of the program. The second part is page 2, line 18. After the period, insert, the commissioner shall be responsible for all fiscal and administrative duties in the first year and may use up to 8% of program revenue to offset costs incurred.
And Mr. Chair, I'd incorporate that. Would you repeat that again, Mr. Sullivan, the second part, the second...
Yes, sir, Mr. Chair. Page 2, line 18, after the period, insert, the commissioner shall be responsible for all fiscal and administrative duties in the first year and may use up to 8% of program revenue to offset costs incurred. You can bring a copy of that up if you'd like.
Okay. Okay, any questions about those corrections? If not, we'll vote on the corrections. That amendment.
I could just incorporate them.
You want to incorporate that?
I'll just incorporate them and explain the amendment, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
Basically, what the you see the back of the room over here lined with people who have been involved with this bill: corn growers, soybean growers, Farmers Union, Farm Bureau, fertilizer retailers, small grains are back there, sugar beets are back there. Everyone has basically put this together. This was the Ag Nutrient Task Force that met five times during the interim, and this group put together a report. This bill was the result of the report. And really, as we've worked again to find peace in the valley, Mr. Chair, the only question that's been out there with this group is who's performing the administrative duties. In other words, who will keep track of the money coming in and out of the account, and who will write a check back if it's requested for a refund. Reviewing our notes and our other meeting minutes from the task force, we realized that we did talk about this, and it was indicated that all the groups were in acceptance that the department would run this for the first year. And then after that, the council, which we've established, we're taking this and handing it off, members. It's not going to be a legislative issue anymore. The council then will decide after the first year whether they want to continue to contract with the department to do the administrative work, or if they want to hire an accountant themselves or do it within one of their organizations. But again, it'll be their decision. So what the language we just put in here basically says exactly that the department will do it for the first year. After that, this section stipulates that the council can establish their own administration on it. So that was the only section that we've really been debating both here and in the Senate, because a fiscal note came out on this.
Yep.
And so this then would address that fiscal note with the up to 8% administration fee. Again, this will collect about $800,000 to $850,000. 8% then would cover the department's costs in the first year and take care of the fiscal note.
Okay. Anyone wishing to, from the audience wishing to testify on the A8 amendment, either for or against it? And Representative Junkie, where's your bill now? Is that on the General Register too?
It's here in this committee.
Okay, so that's the only place. It's gone through the other committees it needs to go through then.
Right. Yes, we've been through. It started Ag Committee, went to Government Operations because of the council, and then now it's here.
Okay. Okay. Any further discussion on this, on the A8 amendment by the committee members? Representative Hackbar.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Junkie, this is raising a fee to establish an account. So we're charging, we're creating new fees.
It's a checkoff fee.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hackbar, what this is a checkoff program like we run with corn and soybeans and other things. It is a, it'll be about a, yes, it's a 40 cent per ton fee on fertilizer that will be charged to farmers. However, it then goes into this account for this council that was established to do research projects for ag fertility. So two things that are unique about this is, number one, it's a checkoff. Number two, it is truly a fee for service. And number three, it's totally refundable. So if you don't, the average farmer would be paying about $11 a year with this. But after buying their fertilizer, they can request a refund from the department, and they can get their check back within 30 days. So anyone who doesn't want to pay it doesn't have to pay it. I wish all our fiscal stuff in the state was that way. If we didn't like it, we get it back. But that's what this is, Representative Hackbarth. It is a checkoff program. And again, Mr. Chair, Representative Hackbarth, I'm carrying this on behalf of the Ag Nutrient Task Force, which was made up, and I can certainly show you the members, a large cross-section of farmers, industry, and growers groups who came up with this unanimously over the winter interim in a number of meetings, and the Department, by the way, of Agriculture, which sat on the board, too. And this was the result of those meetings, and we bring it forward on their behalf.
Further questions? Does the department wish to testify? Make any testimony? Okay. Seeing no further questions, all those in favor of the A8 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. That amendment carries. Do we have any other amendments to the agricultural bill? Representative Duncan?
I don't have one, but I guess I'd like the committee to think about this. And I, again, maybe I spent too much time with David's. But he had the grant for food bank milk purchases. I think you remember that from past years. I believe the Senate has it in their bill for $200,000, which is what David's requested in his bill. And I guess I'd like the committee to think about this when we come back this afternoon. Is there a way we can at least put a marker in there that says we support that concept? Because I think we do. And, you know, and again, it came out of ag policy unanimously. And again, I'm going to suggest why I brought the beekeepers up, maybe working with the department, I'd like to ask them where we can find maybe $10,000 to put in. So at least we're saying, hey, we support the milk program in this committee. We just didn't have the money, and move it into conference that way so it doesn't get jettisoned right away in conference because there's no unanimous agreement over here that we need the program. So I just ask you folks to think about that in our meeting times and coming back. If there's somewhere we can find $10,000 or $20,000 to move from an account just to put a marker in. And I have those amendments here. It's actually the bill that I'd offer if we want to do that. But I won't do it now. I'm just asking for that consideration. And David's, again, thought he'd like to see that to help in his efforts, too. So.
And Representative Junkie, is this would be a one-time appropriation then? Or is it Representative David's intention that this continue on as in the base, or how do we...
Mr. Chair, it's a one-time for the fiscal biennium ending June 30th, 2007. It's a $200,000 general fund appropriation to Second Harvest Food Bank to buy milk.
Okay. Well,
I believe we did do it last year in our funding bill, but again, only at 1 year, and now we're back again, so it is every year. It's not in the base, unfortunately.
Okay. Any more discussion on the ag bill? Representative Berto?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have been working on the A6-1437 and do have an agreement reached here, which a page would be distributing shortly. In the meantime, this is what we have. The Commissioner of Agriculture, in strike coordination and insert consultation with the Minnesota Resource Conservation and Development Council, strike the comma, insert, and the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources, shall study the feasibility of developing, and then strike everything down to, in line 110,
the commissioner. So every crops, the word crops will be struck, and then leave the commissioner shall submit. So strike everything in that range, and then insert. So it would read developing renewable energy sources as they relate to conservation land in Minnesota. Renewable energy sources as they relate to conservation land in Minnesota.
And here they are. Pass them all, please.
Move that amendment to your amendment.
Yes.
Representative Erdahl. Wait for the department to take a look at that and see if they want to discuss it.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Representative
Mr. Chair and Representative Erdahl, does conservation land, it's hard to tell, is that have some special meaning here? Is it that a type of land? Or, you know, I mean, it's, yeah. Define it somewhat for me.
You know, the title Productive Conservation on Working Lands, Conservation of Working Lands, to be honest, I'm not sure what the definition of this is. Representative Peterson, you...
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Earl. I would, maybe you could put in there enrolled, program enrolled conservation land. I think what we're after here is a position in Minnesota setting up for the next farm bill with USDA and NRCS. That's stating that Minnesota is interested in this idea, at least.
That's a lot more. Mr. Chair,
Representative,
that has a lot more meaning after.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's exactly the correct language, but that makes sense to me now.
Okay,
so insert the word enrolled.
If there's something better, we can probably come back with it. 12:30, but
I think
at least enrolled, it has meaning.
For those people who are interested in what this is, I think enrolled makes it clear to them what. What program they might be part of, or how they cost share, and all these different types of programs at USDA, NRCS, MDA, DNR.
I think members will just go ahead and wait till this afternoon on this and get this figured out.
Okay.
All right.
You guys figure out what you want to put in it, and we'll discuss it later on.
Thank you.
Okay. So we have. I think we have one more yet, the A-10 amendment that Representative Erdahl has got, I think affectionately known as the cheeseburger bill. Representative Hoppe, you have a question? Or Representative Erdahl, would you care to move the A-10 amendment to before the place?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the A-10 amendment.
Okay. Would you like to talk about it?
All right. Thank you. This is the... Personal Responsibility in Food Consumption Act, also known as the Cheeseburger Bill. It's been passed off the floor last year. It was included in our omnibus bill last year. We are just proposing that it be also included in the omnibus bill this year. Help us a little bit in dealing with the Senate. Basically, it says that this provides immunity from civil liability
for obesity-related lawsuits. The simplest way of saying it is, if you eat too many cheeseburgers at McDonald's and get fat, it's your fault. Don't sue McDonald's.
Okay. Did you have a question, Representative Hoppe?
No, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Junkie?
Representative Ertl, could you refresh my memory why this, it was in, was it in the, was it in this bill last year?
Yes, it was.
And why didn't it come back from conference committee? What was the hang up in the conference committee last year with it? What were the items that were?
I was not on the conference committee. I would suspect that the Senate did not fully understand the merits of the bill.
And Mr. Chair, just another question in all seriousness. Again, you've got civil liability now, and I suspect your 3810 did not go through civil law or any other committee. Like Representative Hackbarth was asking about the Pawlowski bill, maybe missed a bunch of committees, and you know, are we supposed to put this in now and bypass the committee process? Or
Mr. Chairman, Representative Junkie, this, of course, did go through civil law and all the committees last year.
3810 did?
It's the exact same bill. Not the one, not this piece of paper today, but this bill did go through last year through several committees and did pass on the floor of the House, was included in the omnibus bill a year ago.
Representative Junkie?
That's all I want to know.
Okay. Representative Wagenius?
Help me out here, Representative Ferdahl. How does this fit when we're marketing to children? It's the child obesity that is the problem, and we're marketing very things to children that if they ate what was marketed, they would be fat. And they are. So is there no responsibility whatsoever when you're dealing with children? I can understand when you're dealing with adults. But perhaps you've never been in the grocery store and heard a child whine for whatever. It is the most disheartening thing to do because the media is so strong, and it's so hard for parents to resist. And obviously it is, because kids are very overweight. So I'm uncomfortable with relation to the marketing to children, because you say it's a free-for-all. And I don't know that you meant it to be quite a free-for-all, but it's written that way.
Mr. Chairman,
Representative Ertl.
Thank you, and Representative Wagenius, I certainly share concerns about obesity with children. I have sponsored legislation ensuring that FIAD be included yet in our curriculums.
I love it.
Obesity is an important concern that we should be working on in providing more healthy food choices in our schools and along that line. However, this is about parental responsibility. It's about personal responsibility. It simply isn't the fault of the food producer or manufacturer or wherever in the food chain we are if you choose to eat too much food and gain weight. There are other levels of responsibility that have to be dealt with here, and parents and the child himself needs to take that.
Okay, Representative Wagenius.
I understand about personnel responsibility and parental responsibility. I am really also very familiar with teenagers who have money. And believe me, I could not follow my teenagers around that much. I could actually follow them around not at all. I didn't know when they bought things out of a pop machine or bought potato chips. I think that this is a bit overdrawn from a child's point of view or for folks who are underage. It's wonderful to call for personal responsibility for those of us over 18, but I am very uncomfortable with the breadth of this language when you are talking about the heavy-duty marketing to kids and adolescents.
Okay, anyone wishing to testify either in opposition to or support of the A-10 amendment? Seeing no one testifying, any further questions from the committee? I think we'll go ahead and vote on this, members, and we'll either go ahead with it or not. All those in favor of including the A-10 amendment in the House File 3810, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
Nay.
No. The motion is approved. Members, we'll go ahead and start on the environmental bill. For your information, to my knowledge, we have the amendment 1437 to hold over yet to this afternoon, as amended by Representative Erdahl. Work on that, and we also have the A-1 amendment offered by Representative Dunkey to talk about this afternoon too. Then, and at 12:30, we'll finish the ag bill. So keep those together. The rest of them we've approved. Included. If I can find Mr. Reinholtz, we'll start on the spreadsheets for the supplemental of the environment bill. I don't know, where can we?
We're going to see the supplemental on the environment budget right now. As soon as Jim gets back.
Make sure you get
back. Yeah.
I'm
Trey, or I should get
Duper. You should get Duper one.
Okay, Mr. Reinholtz, I think we'll start now with a supplemental budget on the environment bill. If you want to walk through the spreadsheet for us.
Mr. Chairman,
I'll go ahead and move the 1486 amendment to the to House File 3012 to get that before us, Mr. Reinholtz.
Mr. Chairman,
Representative Bill.
Yes, starting on and this may be for Ms. Crick. Starting on page 17, are there any differences in the delete all amendment language relative compared to the file that is on the internet as unofficially engrossed? Are there any differences in this language?
This should be the same.
Should be identical language as the unengrossed Senate file that's on the internet that we're presently working on.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Dill, there are changes. The only changes are in the appropriations section of the bill, which is on page 31, section 12.
And Mr. Chairman, in terms of the language, less the money, it's identical.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hill, yes.
Okay, thank you.
The supervisor was instructed to move the version that is the Ways and Means into this bill.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members, then I will refer to the spreadsheet that you should have that it has environment up in the left-hand corner, and I will move through the changes that just as I did on the ag one, the chairman's rec. The first agency is Pollution Control Agency, and there are no changes in the chairman's recommendation. Moving into the Department of Natural Resources, the first change item is on line 15. This is a recommended appropriation of $220,000 for the bovine tuberculosis item. This was recommended by the governor. Line 16, invasive species. The governor requested $975,000. The chairman's rec is $261,000. Line 17, the Minnesota Shooting Sports Center. This is House File 3621, is recommended by the chairman at $50,000. The next item in the chairman's recommendation is line 22. This is the ATV gas tax.
I'm sorry, Mr. Reynolds, can I ask a procedural question? Can we, and I've already done it, but can we interrupt and ask specific questions about this, or do we want to go through the whole thing?
I would suggest we ask specific questions as we go point by point.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Reynolds, when we look at bovine tuberculosis invasive species in the Shooting Sports Center, the first three, are these in the Senate version of our bill?
Mr. Chairman, they are in the latest version, the version that came out of Senator Sam's committee. I am not sure if they survived. They will have to go through Cohen's committee, but they were in Senator Sam's.
Okay, I can find out. I was just curious.
I believe at different levels of funding than we have here, though.
I just wanted to see if they had anything in there that we can work out in conference. Thank you.
Okay. Line 22, then, is the ATV gas tax. That was in House File 3482. This is the appropriation for that. There's a corresponding revenue item increasing that.
Okay, just remind me on that. Is that the results of the study, the increase from the results of the study?
Yeah. Okay. Mr. Chairman, Representative Deal, yes, that is. That changes the percentage that comes out of the gas tax into the ATV account.
Thank you.
Okay. The next item in the chairman's rec would be line 27. This is a land appraisal reimbursement. This was in House File 3056, and also the governor's rec. That was $45,000 in the chairman's rec. 31 and 32 are also items that were in House File 3056, at 35 and 45,000 as indicated there. Moving on to page 2 are the DNR agency totals, and then moving into the Board of Water and Soil. There were no changes recommended by the chair in that agency. Moving into the Legislative Commission on Minnesota Resources, on line 55, the chair is recommending $300,000 for the statewide strategic plan. This was requested by the governor in his submittal to the legislature. Line 56, the chairman is recommending $1 million be added to the Fish and Wildlife Corridors program. That program was funded by this committee last year, and the chairman is recommending $1 million more for that. Line 58 is the LCMR admin restored. If you recall, the governor vetoed the admin for the LCMR for fiscal year 07. The chairman is recommending restoring that and actually increasing it from what was passed by this committee last year by $150,000. That extra money, that $100,000 more, that extra $100,000 is for some of the additional responsibilities created in Representative Tingelstedt's bill that passed out of this committee. There's summary on there, and moving on to page 4 is just a summary of the first article of this bill. Moving into page 4 are revenue items contained in Article 1 of this bill. I'll just go through them. On 83 and 84, there are two general fund revenue items. Both of these were in the governor's recommendation, one in House File 3056, the other in House File 3397. Moving into 87 through 100, there are a number of items that were included in House File 3056, the Forest Management Services fees, raises $35,000, the special events fees $45,000. The shifting of the timber sales revenue is indicated there at $194 for the special revenue fund. Off on line 93, it raises $730 in the natural resources fund, and also in the permanent school fund, it raises $205,000. Line 91 shows the youth firearm deer hunting license. That bill, 3116, loses $152,000 to the Game and Fish Fund in some license fee changes. The line 96, the State Park daily permit fee was as submitted by the governor, had a negative effect of $320. That bill, Representative Osmond carried 3012. Was amended so that it's revenue neutral. In 97, ATV gas tax change. Here's the revenue corresponding with the appropriation in the DNR that caused by the change of the percentage of the gas tax deposited into the natural resources fund based on the study. Really, that just shows that I'll point out on line 108, the net general fund effect of this bill, of the Article 1 of this bill, is $500,000. Moving on to page 5, this is Article 2. It's the Clean Water Legacy article. Is what Article 2 is. It is Senate. It is mostly Senate File 762, as was passed by this committee and sent on to Ways and Means. The changes on it were on the appropriation section of the bill, as versus the bill that went through this committee previously. And I'll just quickly indicate Pollution Control Agency is recommended for $4,620,000. Moving down to line 128, the Ag Department is recommended by the chair for $1,500,000. Moving down to line 136, the Board of Water and Soil Resources is recommended at $3,400,000. And moving down to line 143, the Department of Natural Resources at $2,728,000. And I'll point out on line 141, the Chairman's Rec includes Environmental Trust Fund money for this item of $2,248,000. Moving on to page 6. What page 6 is a summary of Article 2 and also the summary of the general fund net effect on Articles 1 and 2. If you look on line 151, the net effect is $10,500,000, which is the target for this bill in the Ways and Means Resolution. Mr. Chairman, that would be the spreadsheet. If you would wish, I'll move into the bill. I'll refer to A06-1486. Section 2, which is on line 1.19, really is the Natural Resources Department, and what it is doing here Section 2, the Natural Resources Department, what we have here is really implementing the appropriations that were indicated in the spreadsheet. I won't go through those again unless anyone has any questions. Moving on to page 2.25 implements the appropriations indicated in the spreadsheet to the Legislative Commission on Minnesota Resources. Moving on to page 3 on 316 is section 4. This section was contained in House File 3056, Representative Blaine's bill, and this particular section is the one that indicates the or implements the request to allow reimbursement of land appraisal costs. Moving on to page 4. Page 4 is Section 5 begins on 4.2. 8. This was some language also contained in 3056 that clarifies some of the powers of the commissioner regarding purchases of facilities outside of state park permits. That would, they really indicated they had no power to do that. That gives them this for maintenance facilities and that that are not within statutory boundaries of state parks. Section 6 was in House File 3012, made some changes to the state park permit. Section 7 on 4.23 also was in 3012, the state parks bill allowing for, as indicates, a towed vehicle permit. Section 8, 3012, that was in, it's some changes on the Sudan Underground Mine State Park admission that was requested by the department, and in 3012. Moving on to page 5 would be Section 9. It is was in 3012 also as laid over by this committee and indicates that fees cannot be charged for church services within state parks. Moving down to the next section 10 is language also once again the park permits. Section 11 on 519.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Holland?
I know Representative Osment wanted to make these changes after talking to the DNR. We missed two effective dates for Sections 8 and Sections 10. Okay. Should be corresponding to the one on page 5, line 6. Both Section 8 and Section 10 after them should say effective date. This section is effective January 1st, 2007. We just don't want to miss that. Maybe now is the time to make that correction.
If you got both, Marilyn.
So if that could be incorporated in the bill, that okay?
I'll incorporate that in the motion I made to move House File 3012 as amended, the Amendment 1486 before us. So I'll incorporate those in the.
Thank you,
in the
motion. Mr. Chair. If we have a question on any section, you want to do them while we're going through it or afterwards?
Why don't we wait until afterwards, unless it's just a minor oral change or something like that.
Mr. Chairman, I'll pick up again then on page 5, line 5.19, was in also section 11, was in House File 3056. It was related to forestry services and requested by the department. 5.32, once again, was in 3056, and it clarifies current practices by the department regarding fees for the use of state forests. Moving on to page 6. Section 13 on 6.8 once again was in House File 3056 and it's making some changes in the procedures on the sale of wood by the Department of the Forestry Division. That would then move on to page 7. 7.11 once again was in 3056 and related to the sale of timber. On 7.34, Section 15 was in also in 3056 and made minor changes in some related to the Forestry Division. And moving into 8.22, Section 16, once again, 3056 was moved into this. That was contained in 3056 and it is also related to changes requested by the Department in the timber sales. Section 17, 8.30, once again, was in 3056 and related to the timber sales again. Moving on to line 9, Section 18 on 9.1 was 3056 once again, and this one is actually related to drilling but was requested by the department clarifying some of their language. 9.18 is Section 19. That was contained in House File 3482. It's an all-terrain vehicle. This section increases the amount of gas tax going into the all-terrain vehicle account and raises $600,000 annually worth of revenue.
Mr. Reinholz and the members, I don't think we're going to be able to include that in our bill. I think that's going to be included in the Omnibus Transportation Finance Bill. I don't believe we can appropriate money from that fund, so I would incorporate in my motion, too, if it's the will of the committee here, that we delete Section 19 and renumber the
following sections is required then. We'll handle that in transportation finance.
Mr. Chairman, members, that just to indicate what that would, the result of that would be, on the spreadsheet, there would not be funds to appropriate to the DNR from the, on line 22, the $600,000 that I indicated. And obviously there would not be the corresponding $600,000 with the revenue to the natural resources.
So, Mr. Chair, do you have to remove section 22 then, if we're not appropriating the money? 19 and 20? Remove 20. I guess I'd ask Mr. Reinholz. If we move the appropriation, now we don't have the dollars, we're not in balance unless we remove section 20. Would that not be right?
Mr. Chairman, no section. Representative Junkie, Section 20 is not related to that fee.
Okay. So, Mr. Chair, it's just an open appropriation on the spreadsheet? That's what you're referring to?
I believe so.
No, the appropriation I'm referring to, Mr. Chairman, Representative Junkie, was on the spreadsheet, page 1, line 22. It was an ATV gas tax. This is a direct appropriation, actually, from the Natural Resources Fund to the department. And the chair was indicating $600,000 in by removing that section 19, there would be no funds to appropriate. So I'd recommend that would then be listed as zero in the chair's recommendation.
So, Mr. Chair, I'm just trying to get at, is there anywhere else in this bill? I see $600,000 on the first page on 1.23. Is there anywhere in the bill where we need to remove the dollar amounts from that?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Junkie, on page 2, 2.5 through 2.10 was the language that implemented that $600,000 appropriation. That would come out of the bill, and typically the motion that moves this bill at the end directs staff to draft the bill to reflect the numbers in the spreadsheet. But you could also incorporate that at this point if you'd like to remove that language from the bill right now.
Members, I think we'll wait until this afternoon to do that, until we find out some more information from the Transportation Finance Committee, and we'll see what we can do. I know there's a couple of amendments that deal with that section, and I'd like to leave that in until we at least get through the amendments on that, because I do think they are important to how we want to proceed with that. So I think we'll just leave that section on page 2 in for now.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move on to Section 20. Section 20, then, what this is, this language is amending laws of 2005. What it's amending is the LCMR appropriations that were passed by this committee last year in the omnibus bill. And on line 917, and also on 920 and 924, what is happening is an increased appropriation of $1 million is being made to this project. It's really the Restoring Minnesota Fish and Wildlife Habitat Corridors project. This money is Environmental Trust Fund money. This is the project the governor recommended increasing by $3,348,000. The chairman is recommending a $1 million increase for that project in this section. Moving on to page 10, also inserted into this existing appropriation language is some additional language, and it's on 10.6 through 10.8. To the extent possible, projects funded shall meet the purposes of Minnesota Statutes 114D.05. What that is, 114D.05 is Clean Water Legacy Statute. So what the effect of this would be is funding projects should take into account the requirements of the Clean Water Legacy as they are looking at which projects to fund. Move page 10 and 11. In 12, 13, and all the way out to page 14 is just the language, the section that was passed last year without any, the rest of it without any changes. That would bring us down to page 14, line 14, 16, and section 21. This came before the committee as House File 3612. Once again, it's amending some LCMR language that was passed last year, and 1422 and 1423 is changed. I believe Representative McNamara had this bill down to 1434. 1431 has the strikes the two. 1434 adds some new language and extends the appropriation out. And no, there's no fiscal effects to that section, to this committee. It's just amending last year's appropriation. Page 15 is just a continuation of that section, and then over on to page 16, down to line 16 of 1619 is just the laws passed last year by this committee. Section 22 on 1620, though, is the disposition of land sales receipts. This is new language recommended by the chair, and as you see, what it's doing there is indicating that all receipts from the sale of land under control of the commissioner shall be credited according to Minnesota Statutes 94.16. 94.16 is a statute that indicates that the department shall deposit revenue from the sale of land into the department's land sales account in the Natural Resources Fund, and has that money then appropriated back to them statutorily to use. What this is doing, members, is telling the department to continue to do their current practices on depositing, or current statute on depositing receipts, rather than the changes that were made in the state government bill last year and are proposed in this year's state government bill, which would have moved that money to the general fund. Line 1625 was in House File 3612, and is extending the time some funds are available from laws of 2003, LCMR grant, I believe. 1629, a repealer that was in House File 3056 related to the forestry operations that was brought before 3056 as it was brought before this bill section for this committee. Section 25 is just effective dates and as in normal language. 1634 begins Article 2. This is Senate File 762, the Clean Water Legacy. This is as the version that was passed by this committee and sent to Ways and Means, so I'm not going to go over that. This committee has already seen that, heard it, and passed, approved it. Other than if you would move to page 31, section 12, the appropriation section. What has changed here are the level of appropriations and for the different agencies. I went over that on the spreadsheet. This language is just implementing that. And Mr. Chairman, this is probably, so I'm not going to go through those one by one. I did it on the spreadsheet. And then you move the section 13, and this is the effective date. Other than that, Article 2 is exactly the same as passed by the committee. I do want to make one correction on one number on 3127, Mr. Chairman. That $2 million indicated there should be $800,000. You can't appropriate $2 million when the total is only $1 million online. So if that would be incorporated in?
Yeah, incorporated in my motion.
And Mr. Chairman, there's one other slight error in the drafting on the numbers. If you go back to page 2 of the bill, line 2.1, the appropriation in the first year for the bovine tuberculosis to the department is indicated at $88,400. That should be $88,000. And those numbers that I just asked to be incorporated in reflect the spreadsheet. So it's just the bill and the spreadsheet are slightly different. You need to draft the bill if the spreadsheet is. That would be it, Mr. Chairman, on the bill.
Any questions, Mr. Reinholz? Any questions of the bill?
weighed up. Members, I think now we'll just go ahead and wait until the recess, and we'll meet back again at 12:30 in the basement hearing room. Okay, I'm going to pass that along to the members not here. But that will be in recess until 12:30.
Can you pay your order?
No.
Yeah, he's right in. And let's see, we're picking up on the agricultural omnibus bill that was before us. So that House File 3810, as amended, is still before the committee. We have a couple more amendments to discuss. And Representative Erdahl, you have an amendment.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, we have been working through this simple process, which became complicated. And I think we have, at least in speaking with Commissioner Osnes and Commissioner Holston and Representative Bowser, I think we have something that will not cost, I don't know how much money it's going to cost. Again, it could be, the essence here is it would be absorbed within the department as part of their reporting procedures. And I think we have an agreement here, at least with most interested parties.
And Representative Erdahl, for clarification, we're talking about the A11 amendment?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, and was the amendment 1437 ever before the committee? Was that moved at all?
We have to, it was discussed.
Was it moved?
It was withdrawn. It was tabled.
Okay. So that tabling is not a good thing to say. It was withdrawn.
Yes. It was withdrawn.
If it's tabled, then we got to take a vote.
It was withdrawn.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, for clarification, was 1437 the previous incarnation of this amendment?
Yes.
Thank you.
So 1437 was laid aside. We are now, Representative Erdahl moves the H310 A11 amendment and has explained it. Are there questions? Representative Wiggins? No questions? Okay. The motion occurs on the A11 amendment. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Motion prevails. Amendment is adopted. We have this the second amendment?
Yes,
second one. Okay. A1 amendment before us. Representative Junkie moves the A1 amendment. That is the toxicity of nursery stock.
This was the Pelosi bill we talked about earlier. Members, and again, passed out of Ag Committee unanimously, and ask for your support here. It's out on the general register, no fiscal cost.
Representative Hoppe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Junkie, have you talked to Representative McNamara about this?
I can tell you who I talked to and what the conversation was if you'd like to know it. Or I could tell you by the front door.
Oh,
but no.
I'm just wondering if he supports this.
Well, I don't know if he does or not, but I can tell you, here's the deal. I'm carrying the bill for Pelosi. Pelosi's carrying the bill for one of Speaker Swiggum's constituents. Okay? So I don't have an oar in the water, Representative Hoppe. If you guys don't want it in there, I got no problem with it. Pelosi has no problem with it, and that's what's going on with it.
Okay,
so I just thought that'd be
President Junkie, if it's okay, we'll have A11 laid over. A1, excuse me. A1 laid over.
Whatever you want to do with it, Mr. Chair, I got no problem with it.
Yeah, I think that there's been questions about that, both in the cost standpoint as well as some of the as to whether other committees should take a look at it rather than getting in there. Just sure. As long as,
and again, Mr.
Chair,
it's kind of
point.
An internal thing with your caucus, and I don't really care.
All right. All right. The Junkie withdraws his amendment or withdraws his motion.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Let's see. Does that take care of any other?
Mr.
Amendments?
Chair, I have another one somewhere.
Okay.
That told Mr.
Representative Genius, do you have something while we're waiting for that?
I do. I just have a question on the bill itself, not amendment. Do you want that now?
Please.
I see in here we're spending money on invasive species control, and we're doing that in the environmental and natural resources bill, too. And you will never find me opposing that. However, we had the last conversation in this committee about invasive species, we put an amendment onto our bonding bill that said that using state dollars, we weren't going to plant them. I don't think that ended up as a rider in the bonding bill. And I don't know who was opposed to it, but my concern is that we will be on a treadmill of spending to control if we don't do some prevention. And on behalf of my taxpayers, we're going to spend this money. But I don't want to continue doing it if there are state, anything involved in the state that is continuing to plant species that could be invasive. That is my concern. And I don't know what happened in the bonding bill and why that language was not picked up. Do you have some sense of help for me?
Wiginius, I don't have any information specific to that. Do we have any background information, Mr. Helen, as to Representative Wiginius's question?
I'm sorry, I was doing another amendment and I didn't hear a full question. It was something missing in the bill that she wants to have included?
Representative Wiginius, could you repeat the question?
No, I was in the bonding bill when we passed our recommendation. We had a rider that said, for all the state dollars that are being spent, we're not going to spend those monies on non-native species, with the potential that any of them could become invasive, because that's what's happened in the past. We've planted things not knowing, totally innocent, and they have become invasive. And so that was an agreement in this committee, but as far as I could see, it was not included in the language in the bonding bill. And that was my concern, because here we're spending more money to control invasives, which I'm going to support, but there is a point that you have to say, wait a minute, we just can't be spending more and more money because we're continuing to plant things that might cause us to spend more and more money.
Mr. Chair, Representative Wiginius, I remember the discussion. I don't remember if this committee took action on putting that language in the bonding bill, and if they did and it's not there, then we've missed it. And maybe Mr. Reinholz remembers it, but we'll have to try and get it back in.
Mr. Chairman, members, I don't have that bill with me, but that language was in the recommendations that came from this committee to the Capital Investment Committee, but I believe you're right. When it left Capital Investment, it did not have it. They made the decision to take it out as a committee reviewing the bill, but it was in the language that was forwarded from this committee, I'm sure.
Mr. Chair,
that was my recollection.
I will talk to my colleague that works on the Capital Investment Committee and see what happened. I didn't hear anything about that language being taken out. And I'll find out what happened and communicate that to Representative Wiginius and to you so you know what happened.
Thank you very much, Senator. Appreciate that. We have another amendment before us. Representative Junkie's amendment, I assume?
Yes.
Representative Junkie moves the A-12 amendment. Representative Junkie.
Mr. Chair, this was the Second Harvest Milk Amendment. The original bill was carried by Representative Davids for $200,000. This is a continuation of an appropriation we made last year for only a single year. If you're unfamiliar with it, this is money that's appropriated to Second Harvest Food Bank, and they purchase milk, or milk is bid on, actually, across the state from our local dairy producers and bottlers. We had a problem, members, before this program and that the milk that was going to our food banks was generally expired or nearly expired milk, and by the time it got there it was soured and it just wasn't working well. And this was a unique, I think, partnership that we put together with our dairy folks and our Department of Agriculture and the food banks to do some pretty decent stuff on behalf of everyone here. And Mr. Chair, I think it's important, trying to represent David's and the Second Harvest folks, that we as a committee at least send a token tidbit over to show that we do strongly support this program, you know. And I don't know if you put a dollar in or $10,000 or $20,000, and I just chose to put $10,000 in it. I just took it out of the general fund of the department, I think we all know that the governor's target was higher, that the Senate's target was obviously higher in this committee, and I would hope that we would at least send this, knowing darn well that this is not the final product, but at least that we have I think we need a positive vote by this committee to say that we want this to stay in and be funded somehow coming out of conference committee.
Okay. I think there's a correction to the amendment. Am I correct? Mr. Reinholz, could you?
Mr. Chairman, members, if you recall, the target for this bill right now is $1 million. We are at that target. This amendment spends on line 1.7, spends $5,000 of general fund in each year. And it was drafted up on 1.3 and 4 to balance it. And it gets a little complicated when it's a negative to an appropriation. But in order to spend 5, we'd have to take away 5. So if the intention is to use the apiary appropriation on 1.3, the negative 8,000 would have to be negative 18,000. And on 1.4, again, it would have to be negative 18,000 in order to balance.
And Mr. Chair, I'd incorporate that.
Okay. Here, Representative Junkie incorporates deleting the 8,000 on line 3 and inserting 18,000, the same on line 4. Now, what does that, Mr. Reinholz, knowing that money doesn't come out of thin air, where does that 5,000 come from?
Mr. Chairman, members, that's the general fund appropriation to the department that they are currently using, you could say, for the apiary program, the registration program.
Then again, Mr. Chair, I'm open to other suggestions. I strongly feel we should have it in there. I've made a general fund. If we want to, you know, take some money out of any of the other money we're doing, I'm happy and open to that. But I guess I just feel strongly we should have a position on this, Mr. Chair. And I don't care if it's a dollar or $10 or $10,000, but I think we should have a position going in.
And I understand what you're trying to accomplish. I know, though, also that instead of having, just language in there or that's extremely weak, I'm the one that also puts in placeholders from time to time. That's essentially what you're trying to accomplish.
Nope.
The concern I would have is that this is going to take $10,000 out of the existing budget of the department. And so not quite sure where that would impact, and that makes me feel uncomfortable. One of the things that's potentially worse than not having a position is to have a negative position. And if this amendment were to fail, that may not be the support that we're looking for either. And it's knowing that this is going to be $10,000 out of the department, not knowing where it's coming from, that puts us into a kind of a shaky area. Could the department comment on the $10,000 deletion and what they think the impact would be to the department? Assuming, Mr. Reinholz, is that the language that we're talking about is it specifically address the apiary funds, or is this some the entire fund for expenditure towards Department of Agriculture?
Mr. Chairman, members, the apiary program has been funded with the general fund, I believe, probably since it was began, and had some revenue that went back to the general fund. That $13,000 that was lost in the revenue from repealing the registrations was the amount of revenue going in, but they were spending on the order of, I don't have that with me, but I believe it, I did receive it from the department, about $70,000 a year on the apiary registration program. So it was in fact subsidized by their large general fund appropriation. What activities they, if you recall during their testimony on the beekeeping bill, they would be shifting some of those revenues to other, what they called higher priority activities. They do have the ability to move their general fund around within their agency to a fairly significant effect. I believe it's clear to, or you could clearly say the department has the authority to choose what they stop doing on that $5,000 cut anywhere in their general funded activities.
Okay. Can you give us some insight as to where the $10,000 would come from? Recognize that that's only the drop in the bucket. We'll be looking for more.
Right. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I had a chance to talk to Representative Junkie this morning. You know, in terms of this whole idea of the second harvest and the milk thing, obviously that's a good thing. We support that. As Mr. Reinholz mentioned, we'd have to find some place in our general fund. $10,000 doesn't sound like a lot. My concern, though, is that we set a precedence where if this figure grows in conference committee and we're going to be giving out more grants to this out of our existing program, I do have a concern. So I wish there was a better way to fund it than taking out of our budget.
Any questions of the department on this issue? Okay, thank you very much. Representative Wiginius?
What was the proposal from the department for the governor's proposal this year in contrast to what is on the table in this bill? What was the governor's recommendation for the Department of Agriculture?
Mr. Chair, Representative Wiginius, in terms of a supplemental budget request?
Yes.
1.4, I think.
Yeah, someone...
Okay. Right. Mm-hmm. Members, I'd be speaking against the 812 amendment. It's one that I think would take dollars away from existing programs. I'm not quite sure even where that sacrifice would be made. And as I go into a conference committee, this is a program that I'd like, and we'll see where we can get the funds for it. But I feel that this is not the kind of precedent I'd like to set where we're starting to take money from existing appropriations. Any questions? Okay. Question occurs on the 812 amendment. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
The motion fails. Are there any other amendments? Hey, members, we have the House File 3810 in front of us as amended. Any further questions on that House File on the omnibus agricultural omnibus bill? Okay. The motion would be to recommend this to pass and be referred to the Ways and Means Committee as amended. Staff would be directed also to make any changes or corrections as needed in order to maintain the accuracy of the document. And you need to mention this? And the numbers that are showing on the spreadsheet are the primary numbers that we're to be working for. Any other questions? On that motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails. Bill is passed. Representative Hackbarth, if you could come over and take over the chair for just a while I go up and check on another bill that I'm working on. And if you can start where we left off on the environment bill. I know we're both playing catch up on that.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Is this the bill, or do we have to adopt the legal amendment? Oh no, I know it. Yeah. But is this a delete all amendment?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to adopt that.
Yeah.
Okay.
On the 806-1486, the delete all amendment for our environment finance bill, I would make a motion that we'd adopt the 806-1486 amendment so that we can work off of that and put other amendments into that. Everybody understand? Mm-hmm. All in favor of that motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion fails. The amendment, the lead all amendment is adopted. The 806-1486 is what we're going to be working off of. And our First Amendment. I'll move the H3012A9 amendment. The A9 amendment. Jim, Mr. Reinholz, do you understand what the A9 amendment does?
Mr. Chairman, members, this refers to the language on the LCMR appropriation for the $300,000 for the study that was recommended by the governor. It's a spreadsheet. The language that was in the governor's bill sent over was a little mushy, and actually, this is the language that came over that accompanied the bill, so it's more clear, and the LCMR is more comfortable with that language also.
And I think, Mr. Reinholz, that should we change the name of the LCMR, this clarifies that it could be either LCMR or the new name.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
Thank you. Everybody understand the A9 amendment? Mr. Helen.
Mr. Chair, there's a typo. I thought this was fixed on 1.6. It should be commission or its successor commission, not commissioner, if your copy says commissioner. That would refer to if there is a replacement for the existing LCMR.
Very good. The chair will incorporate that in his amendment. Any further discussion on the A9 amendment? All in favor of that amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, motion prevailed. The A9 amendment is adopted. Next. Okay. The A8.
Mr. Chairman,
Representative Wiggins,
if we could just before we go on to the next one,
sure.
As I was quickly reading this, we deleted lines 31 to 36.
That's on the last amendment, the A9.
Right.
Okay.
And in deleting. We deleted the part that said the plan must provide measurable outcomes and determine the emphasis of the community. But I am uncomfortable and wonder what the committee thinks about just adding the plan must provide measurable outcomes. I think that's a good idea for us, and I maybe there was some reason to delete that particular half sentence that I don't understand.
Representative Menias, could we hold off on that? And if Representative Osmond comes back, we'll discuss that issue with him. This is really his issue.
Okay.
And when he comes back, then we'll discuss that. Please please remind us of that issue.
Okay, fine. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Okay, the A8 amendment. The chair will move the A8 amendment. This looks like it has to do with the clean water.
We heard this earlier.
Oh, okay, for the ISTS. Okay. This is an extension for Representative Davis on the ISTS pilot program. Yep. Heard it in this committee. Everybody okay with the A8 amendment? Any discussion? All in favor of the A8 amendment, signify by saying aye. Aye. All opposed? Motion prevails. The A8 amendment is adopted. Okay. Boy, now we've got the Osmond Junkie. And Junkie's not here either. The A6 amendment, state purchasing of plug-in hybrid electric vehicles. I think we talked about this last week, members.
Yep, we did.
Any discussion on the A6 amendment? All in favor of the A6 amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, motion fails. A6 amendment's adopted. Representative Dill, the 1503 amendment.
Hey, Mr. Chair. This has to do with a pile, essentially, of taconite aggregate material that exists at the Iron Range off-highway vehicle recreational area, and the department would like to sell this material. Is this thing working right? Sounds like it's backbeating. I'm trying to get it further away.
I can hear you.
Okay. They'd like to sell that material, and then the proceeds from that stockpile of material would then be deposited in the ATV account. That's the crux of the amendment.
Okay, thank you, Representative Dill. If the department would like to come down. Members, I think I had a bill a year or so ago that appropriated money to purchase land and this stockpile, actually, and now we're just trying to say that if this stockpile is sold, that the proceeds will go back into the ATV account. I believe that's what it is.
Yep.
Ms. Barneson?
Mr. Chairman, committee members, we're in the process of buying both the surface rights and then the stockpile from the City of Virginia, and we already have a potential buyer in ISPAT, Inland, in buying the stockpiles, and without this amendment, then the revenues from the sale of those stockpiles would go back to the general fund and wouldn't go to the accounts from which the purchase is being made.
Okay. Ms. Barneson, I believe Mr. Reinholdt has a question for you.
Mr. Chairman, members, Ms. Martinson, I had not seen this until it was offered, and my question would be, paragraph C is a notwithstanding paragraph B. Paragraph B indicates that the receipts from these sales will be deposited to the general fund. So are there any current sales of these stockpiled materials in aggregate, or would this be new sales?
Barneson?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Reinholdt, these are new sales. There are currently no sales.
So you would then you would agree that the general fund is not losing any revenue because there currently is no revenue going there. Thank you.
And Ms. Martinson, where did you say the proceeds were going to go once the sale is complete?
The funds appropriated for the sale of this parcel came from the ATV and the motorcycle and the truck accounts, and then depending on the proportion of those, how those funds were used, then we'd return any proceeds back to those accounts.
To those three
proportion.
Accounts. Thank you. Any further discussion? All in favor of the 1503 amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, motion prevails. 1503 is adopted. Okay, members, I have the 1496 amendment. I'll move the 1496 amendment. This is a bill that we had in the Environment Policy Committee. It has to do with there's three auto racetracks in the state of Minnesota that do not fall under this noise exemption, and all the other ones do, and we're just trying to include those three motor speedways under the motor exemption, under the noise exemption. Any further discussion to 1496? Representative Wagenius.
Mr. Chairman, I'm trying to recall the testimony on this, and I don't know why it wasn't included in the bill, but are we dealing here with a regulatory taking if we do this? I mean, folks who will claim that they're not getting the, I can't remember the words, the use of their land, the enjoyable use of their land, and that they will claim that we have done a regulatory taking with this.
Not that I heard of, Representative Wagenius. We had one person that spoke against the bill, and we had a room of about 60 or 70 people that were in favor of the bill.
Well, Mr. Chairman, since that time, I had correspondence from a number of other folks. Now, I don't know what the number is. It's just, you know, the emails you get, and a couple of telephone calls, people saying that they were opposed to this because they lived in the area. Now, I don't know whether you got those or not.
Representative Wagenius.
Or maybe they just thought I was a more...
I'm not sure. The bill went through our policy committee, and it also went through the civil law committee and is currently on the floor. Representative Johnson.
You mentioned three places. I was just curious what municipalities you're talking about. That
there's one. I can't remember the name of the town. It's down
Mallard 50, County, isn't it?
Well, 15 miles south of Rochester, approximately. And then there's one up by Sauk Center, up by St. Cloud. And I don't remember where the other one was. Pine County or something. Pine City.
Okay.
Any further discussion on 1486? All in favor of 1496, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
Motion prevails. 1496 is adopted. Representative Gill, HDA 365.
Okay, Mr. Chairman. This amendment appropriates $400,000 in 2007 from the all-terrain vehicle account to the Natural Resources Fund to develop the North Shore Trail from Normanna Road in St. Louis County, which is north of Duluth, and in all our discussions, that is the area which has always been discussed as the beginning of any potential ATV trail, and then continues from St. Louis County into Lake County and connects to the existing ATV trail known as the Moose Walk Trail up in Lake County. This amendment, as written before you members, does not designate the trail as an ATV trail. It merely provides an appropriation. And if Ms. Martinson could come forward, I'm going to say what I think is going to happen, and then she can comment on it. This provides an appropriation for the trail improvements that will or may be necessary to make it an ATV trail after the DNR has conducted their environmental review of the project and taken public comment through the public process. It does not designate the trail. It makes an appropriation. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I have an oral amendment to this amendment.
All right.
And beginning following the word use on line 9, or starting a new line thereafter, it would state, the appropriation does not cancel, but is available until expended.
Okay, Representative Dill would incorporate that in his amendment.
And then, Mr. Chairman, if Ms. Martinson, I think you heard what I described as the process and how we would approach this potential designation. Now, members, each county, St. Louis County, probably 2 years ago, maybe a little longer, passed a resolution in support of, as I recall, the concept of the trail with environmental review and public comment. And Lake County passed, as I recall, a resolution stating they were in favor of the designation of the North Shore Trail. Now let me explain, members, something. I know that this is going to be somewhat discussed here. One of the issues is that this is a sensitive area. There's almost nowhere in St. Louis County and Lake County that it isn't sensitive. The area has been logged. This is on an existing route that already exists, that a new route will essentially not be established, but using the existing route. And frankly, members, to call this the North Shore ATV Trail is not quite nearly as appropriate as a trail that we know as the name of the Gitche Gamme Bike and Hiking Trail that runs directly along the edge of the lake within a stone's throw of the water. And to quote Representative Kahn in a policy committee, is miles and miles of beautiful rolling blacktop. That's what Representative Kahn said in the policy committee about bike trails. Miles and miles of beautiful rolling blacktop. This trail will be a granular surface. It's an existing corridor. And members, it makes more sense to me to use an existing corridor that is like essentially 5 miles from the lake, at likely the very minimum, 5 miles from the lake, and at the top of the hill rather than down by the lake shore. So with that, members, could we hear from Ms. Martins and Mr. Chair about the idea of the environmental review and public comment prior to designation, if to any designation at all? Did I get that right?
Thank you, Representative Dilger. Ms. Martinson.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, my name is Lori Martins. I'm the Director of Trails and Waterways at DNR. In response to the question, one of the primary issues along the trail is that there's multiple ownership. And in this 55-mile segment, there's private land, St. Louis County land, Lake County land, and the U.S. Forest Service, and then the DNR administers land for the state there as well. One of the first steps we would need to do is a master plan amendment. We expect that would take about 6 months. We would work with the landowners and negotiate with them an alignment, if one can be negotiated. The landowners are the ones who determine if that can happen. Once a final alignment is determined, then we would conduct the environmental assessment, and following that, then we would make a determination about whether or not ETVs would be allowed on the trail following the EAW. The federal process, if the feds decide to move and to propose to allow ATVs on the trail, could follow concurrently with our planning environmental review process, or it could happen subsequent to it. That's really up to them to decide.
So, Mr. Chairman?
Representative Bill.
And so, to make sure I understand it fully, in that master planning process that you mentioned, that would be the point at which the public comment would come to the agency. You would have that the plan revisions or the intake to make the plan would be able to receive public comment from organizations who may favor the trail, who may oppose the trail, or other interests.
Martin.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Dill, there would be 2 points for public comment: the master plan amendment process and the EAW process.
Representative Wagenius.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Martin says, I don't understand the process here with regard to the private landowners. What if a private landowner said, I'm not interested in having an ATV trail across my land? Does that mean that you would take that land with eminent domain?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Wagenius, that means that the trail would either be severed for that use, or we would need to find a reroute.
Yes, okay,
Representative
Wagenius? Yes. Then how much are we, I mean, how many various property owners are we considering here? Is it 3 or 4? Is it 4? Just a range.
Representative Wagenius, you're talking about the private landowners?
All kinds of landowners, okay. Because if you have county land or whatever, that's one group you negotiate with. I mean, I'm just trying to figure out if we're getting ready to get into a beehive here.
It might, Mr. Chairman, Representative Guineas, it might take me a few moments to figure that out. I do know
just roughly
the mileage. Well, I can't answer that yet. In terms of mileage, it's 0.5 and it's 0.64 miles of the total 55 are on private land.
Mm-hmm.
The number of owners on private land will take me a few minutes to determine.
Hey, Josh, will you give me a cup of coffee?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Guineas, I apologize. I'm going to have to go back to the office and determine that, the number of private landowners.
Representative Guineas?
Thank you. You know, the number isn't as important to me as the commitment, and I just want to hear you reiterate it, that none of these private landowners' land would be taken with eminent domain.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Agenius, we would not use that. We negotiate with the landowners. If we can't successfully negotiate with them, then we would find a reroute or the trail would be severed.
Representative Dale.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Martinson, on all the other trails, could you answer, has eminent domain ever been used on a trail? I don't know whether it ever has.
Any of your trails?
Any of your trails. Snowmobile or ATV or horseback, biking. Why don't we just stick to the ones you know about?
Not that you recall?
Representative Chairman, Mr. Chairman, Representative Dill, I've asked Tom Danger that a number of times, and in his wonderful career at DNR, he cannot recall of any instances where we've done that.
So Mr. Chairman, follow up.
Bill.
Well, Ms. Martinson, along a trail alignment of, let's say, 55 miles up in St. Louis County or in Lake County or Itasca or Coochiching, on different types of trails, not specifically an ATV trail, might you think that the mix of private and state and tribal and federal might be a similar amount as in the instance of the North Shore Trail here? And the point I'm making is that in managing the trail system, which I manage, I mean, we have hundreds of crossings of which half of that are private. And I'm just saying, are they similar? I mean, there's nothing unusual about this alignment in terms of ownership for that part of the world?
Farnson.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Dill, the ownership mix is very similar for the northern part of the state.
Thank you.
Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Martinson, now, there's a variety of wetlands that would be affected. As those would potentially be filled, what is the policy then with respect to the State Wetland Act or rule or whatever? Would you have to find new wetland replacements? Or?
Representative Johnson, I don't think they're going to fill any wetlands. I think they're planning on bridging some maybe, but Ms. Martinson?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Johnson, we would follow the wetland sequencing provided in the Wetlands Conservation Act, and I'm not familiar enough with that to go over what that is, but first of all, we would seek to always avoid and then to minimize, and then finally, if we do have to have any impacts, we would mitigate.
Representative Johnson.
And how about trout streams? What would you be doing with respect to that to monitor? And apparently, there'd be some concerns about sedimentation, that sort of thing. What's the plan?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Johnson, that is something that we would be evaluating through that environmental assessment process. Currently, most of those are bridged because of the snowmobile trail. But we would need to consider the additional impacts caused by the ATV use.
Further discussion. Ms. Martinson, have you got a copy of the amendment?
Okay.
Somebody get Ms. Martinson a copy of the amendment. It says all-terrain vehicle account in the Natural Resources Fund to develop the North Shore Trail. And it just says to develop the North Shore Trail. Is that the proper language for our intent to start the development process and to actually put some work on the ground, or do we need some other language there other than just to develop the North Shore Trail as an ATV trail?
Mr. Chairman, I think it would be helpful if you intend for us to use the dollars for the planning process that the appropriation language provide for that use.
Representative Dill, do you have any suggestions? We might.
I had considered development from the beginning of the process. That's the reason I asked the questions. If we need clarifying language, I'd like to come up with it.
Mr. Helen, do you have any suggestions for it?
I'm just wondering, Mr. Chair, if this might work, just to say on line six there, to plan the development of the North Shore Trail. And then at the end it says for all-terrain vehicle use.
Plan and develop?
No, to plan for the development.
Well, that's strictly just the planning process then. If we said plan and develop,
yeah,
plan and construct.
Because, Mr. Chairman, I think you're correct, isn't that assuming that all of these hurdles that Ms. Martinson has described are achieved, we want to be able to use this expenditure to do the on-the-ground development as well as the planning.
So the Natural Resources Fund.
Mr. Chair,
yes.
What about fund the development of the North Shore Trail?
To fund the development and construction.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Peters.
I was under the impression at DNR that there's trail planning money and there's trail construction money. You're planning...
I think we'd have to say both.
You're planning to do both. Okay.
Mr. Helen.
Mr. Chair, then, if that's your intent, I would go back to what you originally stated, to plan and develop would...
Okay, Representative Hill incorporates that into his amendment. Also, members, Mr. Reinholz tells me there's not enough money to do $400,000. There is in 06, but not in 07, and if we took this kind of money, we'd be in the negative. So Representative Dill would like to move an incorporation in his amendment that we change the $400,000 to $250,000. Correct, Representative Dill?
Yes, I put the extra in there to have a little elbow room.
Very good. Any further discussion to the 365 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of the 365 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
No.
Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Okay, members, the 1504 amendment. This, on page 2 of the bill, we have some language that appropriates this money, and we're going to direct it a little differently than what's in the bill. We're putting $400,000 of the $600,000 into the grant and aid program, and $200,000 for rehabilitation and development of all-terrain vehicle trails. And it all goes to the same account, but this kind of breaks down exactly what we're, how we want to spend the money and how we're directing the DNR to spend this $600,000. And I'm going to incorporate into my amendment an oral amendment on line 1.9. After 4, well, actually what it would be is delete line 10 and insert rehabilitation and development of all-terrain vehicle trails. Delete line 10 and insert rehabilitation and development of all-terrain vehicle trails. So it would read $200,000 in 07 from the all-terrain vehicle account in the Natural Resources Fund is for rehabilitation and development of all-terrain vehicle trails. I'll incorporate that. So, any further discussion to the 1504 amendment? Seeing none, all in favor of the 1504 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion prevails. The 1504 amendment is adopted. I also have an oral amendment to the bill. On page 9, we're going to delete section 19. This probably should not be in the Environment and Natural Resources bill. This is an issue that the Transportation Finance Committee has to take up.
We already did that.
That's already deleted. All right. Never mind. Thank you. Okay. Next, any further amendments?
I've got at least one already passed out, Mr. Chair.
Which one do you want to do, Marilyn?
And I got two more coming.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Representative Dill has the 1529 amendment.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that is already before you. Is that correct?
Yep. We have.
Okay. In the Federal Clean Water Act, there are exemptions for civicultural activities. This amendment is language that gives comfort to the logging entities regarding those exemptions, and that nothing in this chapter affects the application of civiculture exemptions under federal, state, or local law, or requires civiculture practices more stringent than those recommended in the timber harvesting and forest management guidelines adopted by the Forest Resources Council under Section 89A.05. And this is something that we've been working on for a couple of weeks in consultation with the chair and the committee administrator Brick and the PCA as well. And I think Mr. French could come forward and speak to this if he's in the room.
Representative Wagenius, do you have something before we have testimony? Representative Wagenius.
I do. I have been concerned about particular invasive species in our forests, and I'm particularly concerned about green canary grass. It looks to me like this amendment would say that if the management guidelines didn't deal with invasive species, then we wouldn't be doing that. Am I getting that correct, Representative Dill, or can you help me how this actually plays out?
I can't answer the question. I'm sorry.
Representative Wagenius, who do you think might, somebody think Mr. French could answer the question, or?
No, he says he can't.
Okay.
I guess I wasn't listening to the question.
Representative Wagenius, could you repeat your question? Maybe somebody else in the audience might have an answer for your question.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One of my concerns, and as we have visited timber regions, is to see so much in terms of invasive species around these regions. And when you open a canopy, I think this is probably a DNR question, when you open up a canopy and let the sunlight in, the problem you could have is some of the invasives, particularly some of the thick ones like reed canary grass, could come in and keep nice little tree seedlings from popping up. That's my worry. And we don't want that to happen. We want forests to regenerate. So I have been concerned all along that we're not paying enough attention to invasive species in these areas. And it's not that they're not there. We saw them when we were taking our various tours. So that's my concern, Representative Dill, and it looks like there could be some implications for that here.
Hey, Ms. Chairman, I am not familiar with the voluntary timber harvesting guidelines of the Resource Council, but I see Mr. Tomlinson is here, and maybe he can help us with that.
Welcome to the committee. Please state your name and who you represent for the record.
Mr. Chair, members, my name is Bob Tomlinson with the DNR Division of Forestry. Representative Wagenius, we discussed it before as well, but you're aware that we have guidelines relative to how we follow relative to timber sales. We want to assure before we harvest the timber that the desired regeneration will appear that we're looking for. So if we're out there going to harvest timber, we want to have pine come back to the site. We're going to harvest it in such a way to assure that the pine comes back. That might mean harvesting it at a certain time of the year, or not doing it at other times of the year, and assuring that there are no invasives in there that we need to contend with. If there are, then we need to deal with those before the harvest occurs, and we'll deal with that. Reed canary grass may or may not be one of those invasives that we have to take into account. In most areas of the state where we're doing this harvesting, the invasives such as buckthorn and reed canary grass are not going to be as big of an issue. You're going to be more in the transition zones and elsewhere, but not probably up, far up in northeastern Minnesota and elsewhere where we do the majority of the harvesting occurs in those natural situations.
Representative Wagenius.
It feels fuzzy to me, and I don't know what the guidelines say in terms of invasives if they're very strict. And the reason I bring it up is because I've asked the same question in terms of easements. And the answer I have gotten has not made me feel comfortable, because we are not putting in anything in easements that I understand that deal with invasives. So it's the same problem. I don't see how this plays out. It makes me uncomfortable to put it something in law when we don't see how it's going to play out.
Ms. Tomlinson? Mr. Friend?
Mr. Chairman, not necessarily on the question, but let me maybe get there through...
state your name and who you represent.
About explaining the situation for this amendment. Nelson French, Legislative Affairs Director of the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members, and Representative Wagenius et al. The purpose of this amendment is to essentially provide comfort to folks who are concerned that the Clean Water Legacy Act language may impact provisions that exist in current state and federal law, which it does not. So this essentially indicates that the application of the silvicultural exemptions, which exist, these are primarily exemptions. We do not issue permits. This is very similar to the agricultural situation where we do not issue discharge permits for these activities. And the restoration activities or the fixes that come as a result of a TMDL will be through best management practices and incentive-based activities. So this language merely states that, and it ties it to the Forest Resources Council and their best management practices, which, as I understand it, are the tools that are used for the forested region of the state.
Representative Wagenian.
Well, thank you. Now I understand where it came from, but I'm still not comforted because one of the things we always have to look at is the law of unintended consequences. And I haven't been given specific assurance that the management guidelines have, with specificity, deal with invasives. And that's the problem I'm having here.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Wagenian, this is probably not my question to answer, given that we're not focused on that issue, but I would refer you to 89.8.05, in which it indicates that the guidelines must address water, air, soil, biotic, recreational, and aesthetic resources. I'm assuming by biotic we would mean the biological and ecosystem-based nature of the area. So, again, this is not the PCA's area of jurisdiction. The purpose of this is essentially to indicate that the Clean Water Legacy Act and forestry activities are not adversely affected.
Representative Wagenian.
Saying shall address and deal with, or I mean, shall address doesn't mean that we deal with them. We could say, geez, we've seen exotics or non-natives there or invasives there, but we're not going to deal with them. I mean, that's addressing under 89A05 as you read it to me. I find this, I just don't want us to do anything that may have unintended consequences, because I think we all understand that we've got a huge problem with invasives in this state, and we're just not quite getting our hands around it.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Wagenian, it's my sense that this does nothing to exacerbate the problem with respect to exotics, because the reference also is to forested ecosystems. I'm assuming that, again, I'll let the DNR respond and forestry respond to those issues.
Thomas.
Well, Mr. Chair, Representative Wagenian, I'm not sure that this issue is directly related to the amendment or not, but and I understand your concerns. I know we've discussed them before. I realize that our forester, we were here testifying before this committee a month or two ago relative to certification, and Andrew Aarons at that time came up, and I know he followed up with you in some emails specific to reed canary grass and otherwise. We recognize that the best management practices that are in place are out there for the Forest Resources Council for us to follow. They're not voluntary for state managers. We follow them. It's mandatory whenever we're doing forest management. And more importantly than that, we also understand that there, and we hope you do, that it's a continuous improvement process. If we find areas in the best management practices that need strengthening or need changes relative like this with the invasives, which was identified during the certification audit, that we needed to do some more things relative to that, then we're going to be working on that. We'll work on that with the council over the next several months and see if we can't make them stronger for forest management purposes.
Representative Wagenian.
Thank you. If I'm recalling the memo that you said was emailed to me, it essentially said, well, we're washing our hands of it. This is really an Ag Department problem. Take it to the Ag Department. And I was thinking, no, you guys take it to the Ag Department. So that was the way I read the response, and maybe I misread it, but that's what I read.
Representative Cornish.
I just wanted to move on. We're very aware of the invasive species things, and it doesn't even look related to this amendment, and we could just take that up under another bill or something.
Members, I'm hearing that we have to be out of this room by 2:30. Another committee coming in, so Okay, we can wrap things up here. Any further discussion of 1529? All in favor of the 1529 amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion prevails. 1529 is adopted. Representative Dill.
1531, sir.
Representative Dill moves House or the amendment AO6 1531. Representative Dill.
Yes, this has to do with the citizen monitoring portion of the bill, members, in the assessment of water quality, and it gives language that assures that Appendix D of the this document, the citizen monitoring volunteer surface water monitoring guide, is followed. Members, the Appendix D of this is the scientific processes, as I understand and interpret it, that are followed. Give you an example. If you go to Kmart and you get your blood pressure taken, they don't write you a prescription there. They tell you to go see a doctor and get a prescription or do something about your high blood pressure. The same is in this. The citizens are out there monitoring water quality, and they find something and they report it, or they report all their findings, as I understand, to the PCA, and then they then, in turn, implement the parts of Appendix D, as I understand it, in that particular chapter, to then do scientific evaluation and to try and confirm or deny the results that were found by the citizen monitor. And so this language gives assurance that the citizen monitoring is really used as the screening. And did I get all that right, Mr. French?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Dill, exactly. This
Mr.
is
French.
Actually exactly the process we would use. So I would view this as a technical clarifying amendment.
Members, the last amendment, this one and the next one that Representative Dill is going to be offering, all have to do with the Clean Water Legacy portion of the bill. They've all been agreed to, so I don't think there's any controversy to these. Any further discussion of the 1531 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of the 1531 amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, motion prevails. 1531 is adopted. And Representative Dill, same thing on this one, 1530?
Correct.
Any further discussion of the 1530 amendment?
This has to do, Mr. Chairman, with the TMDL offset, the offset, nutrient loading offset provisions that were cited in the lawsuit of Maple Plain and Annandale. And this is language that came from the Knobloch bill that was did not prevail in this committee. It was on a tie vote. And if you have any questions, Ms. Thurlow is here to answer them.
Representative Dill, how does Representative Osmond feel about this amendment?
I do not believe that he supported the amendment when we previously heard it, we heard the Knobloch bill, and I don't believe he supported the Knobloch provisions. The Knobloch bill. Now, whether this provision was troublesome to him or not, I'm not sure.
Members, we will continue with the Dill amendment. We'll turn the gavel over to the Chairman Osmond, and he can discuss how he feels about the Dill amendment, 1530.
Mr. Chair, these are the nutrient offset loading provisions that were in the Knobloch bill that were the crux of the case that was brought against Annandale and Maple Lake. And we've heard testimony from Ms. Thurlow previous to this, and we had quite a debate. I do not believe that it hurts the bill as we move forward. I'm trying to get it included because I think that it is reasonable. Other states have used these provisions, and I'd like to move forward on it and hear your thoughts on it as well. Again, Ms. Thurlow is here to talk if we have questions on this language. As I understand, the language is identical to the previous language in the Knobloch bill.
And I think, Dill, we know what happened to the Knobloch provisions.
Mr. Chairman, the Knobloch bill had the resistance to the Knobloch bill, I thought, had more to do with the phosphorus provisions than this provision in terms of the tie vote and the failure on the Knobloch bill.
Mr. Chair, if I may.
Representative Wagenius.
So I was going to ask if we could hear from the attorney from the PCA on this.
Okay. PCA?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Wagenius, the attorney for the PCA is not present. I was on the phone with Attorney General staff earlier today. We don't believe this language is necessary. First of all, just to clarify from the discussion several weeks ago, this amendment does not take care of the situation which the Supreme Court is dealing with right now, on which they have scheduled oral argument for May 3rd, and that is the interpretation of federal law that we do not have the authority to do this in Minnesota. Again, the Court of Appeals did not make a decision with respect to state law, but federal law. Therefore, any action of the legislature cannot, by definition, correct that interpretation. Again, I'm not an attorney, so please bear with me. Mr. Chairman, Representative Wagenius, and members, we believe this language is not necessary. The agency is arguing before the court right now that we have the ability to do trading. The court will render its decision and clarify this situation for the state of Minnesota soon. And be glad to stand any other questions. There are probably others who wish to comment on this.
Representative Wagenius.
Since the attorney, I mean, I appreciate your giving your opinion on this. I would like to, if we're going to have a testimony from Ms. Thurlow, that we also ask the attorney from the Minnesota Center for Environmental Advocacy to also testify on this particular provision, because she is in the room.
We'll get to that point.
Okay.
Other testifiers? Yes. Please introduce yourself for the record.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Carrie Thurlow. I represent the Coalition of Greater Minnesota Cities. I do want to clarify this is similar language to the language in the Representative Knobloch's bill. It is not the quite identical language. And so let me clarify as to what the language does. It really clarifies three issues that are currently not addressed in this state. The first sentence clarifies that if a new or expanded facility is proposed before a total maximum daily load plan is done, and it does not increase loading, that the MPCA can issue a permit. Now, there hasn't been a legal challenge on that point. We are just asking the state to clarify that is still the case. The second issue that it clarifies has to do with new facilities that will result in increased loading, but that would be offset with reductions. That is the situation of the Annandale Maple Lake case. It is very important for this committee to understand that the only issue in the Annandale Maple Lake case was the interpretation of federal law as it applies to new facilities. We believe that if the legislature acts, that it will provide assistance, but as Representative Dill stated, it certainly cannot do any harm, as the Minnesota Supreme Court is still working this out. The third issue that this amendment addresses is the question of existing expanding facilities that will increase loading, but that are offset while a TM deal is being done. Federal law treats new facilities and existing expanding facilities differently. The question of whether you can create or build an expanded existing facility that will increase loading but that is offset with reductions elsewhere in the watershed while a TMDL is being worked out is not addressed by the Annandale Maple Lake case and has not yet been the subject of a lawsuit. But our concern is that it is coming and that the legislature should act to pass this language to avoid lawsuits in the future. I do have handouts that the if there's a page available, two letters from the federal EPA that clarifies that states the state does have the authority to do this, and we do know that states like Michigan that does have significant water have enacted pre-TMDL offsetting policies through rulemaking, and so we believe that the states can do this. This is a serious development issue, especially for cities in greater Minnesota, but throughout the state. The Star Tribune this weekend really highlighted the problems, the development moratoriums that are being right now placed on cities throughout the state because it takes time to do total maximum daily loads. And we believe that if the state is going to enact comprehensive clean water legislation this year, they should also address these three important issues, the questions of pre-TMDL offsetting, so that we have a clear expression of what the state's intent is. And so with that, I would be happy to answer any other questions.
Any questions, Representative Wiggins?
One of the concerns I have with your language, without having someone else challenge it or speak about it, is that Representative Osment's whole plan is to clean up waters. And where he has an offset, it is to make sure we drive toward cleanliness. But your line on 10 and 11 say you may issue a permit if the increased loading is offset by reductions from other sources. So we're not getting ahead of the curve with this language. We're just treading water. So there is no getting ahead of the curve with this particular language. And I think that is a critical negative in this language.
Mr. Chair, Representative Wiggins, if I may briefly respond. The language, I want to be clear, does put a first priority in looking at zero discharge options first. Before you can even consider offsetting, that cities have to consider, that you have to look at whether zero discharge options are available. So we think that perhaps that's one way to address some of those concerns. The other important point is that we are certainly not advocating that cities should not meet TMDLs once they are done. And we are certainly advocating that where it is possible, there should be reductions done. We certainly think that this is the interim, the addressing of the interim while the TMDL is being worked out. And they're certainly not advocating that we don't do cleanup plans or move forward in improving water quality.
Representative Wiggins.
However, if you have, you're going from zero to total offset, there's no in-between there. If you can't do zero, then it's total offset. And the problem is we're going to use state resources, a lot of state resources in our bonding bill, to put in new wastewater treatment systems. And if we put them in at a standard that is just treading water, and then go back and ask the taxpayer later to add more money to upgrade a facility when we could have done the job right in the first place, it just seems to me that you're costing my taxpayers just more than I feel comfortable with. I mean, this is a big money proposition here, and it's scary.
Further comments?
Mr. Chair, Representative Wiggins, I guess we're going to have to disagree on this point. We think that in order for an offset, there have to be willing cities to actually make reductions also. I think our cities are willing to do reductions where it's possible. This does address the issues, though, where you do need some expanded facilities and some expanded loading so that you don't have the development moratorium that were highlighted in the Star Tribune this weekend.
Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is there a listing now of places where you could find offsets, or how would you know what your offset sites were to even implement this kind of program? Is it inventory currently?
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, I guess I can't answer that question. I suppose that would be a question for the PCA. Since right now we don't have a policy for offsetting, and since there's a question on new facilities with the Annandale Maple Lake case, I don't know that there's necessarily this is being pursued, but we know in the Annandale Maple Lake case there was an attempt to do an offsetting, and that was consistent, that was the position the agency took. It's consistent with what the agency is arguing before the Supreme Court, and so I guess those other questions would have to be for the agency.
President John?
Well, Mr. Chair, and to the testifier, I do basically support
this amendment, but I think Representative Lagunias does make a good point, particularly where she's pointing out the agency may issue a permit if the increased loading is offset by reductions from other sources of loading. What she's saying, I think, and what I'm understanding is that might be all right as long as the offset results in a greater reduction than where we're at today. Your language just says it has to be one-to-one. We have no net cleaner water at the end. Why wouldn't you make sure your offset results in a net reduction in the TMDL and the impaired water? Wouldn't that make more sense? And that's what she's getting at, and I think that whether it was intentional in here or not, that language, that's how it's reading, and I think that's what's causing the problem.
Mr. Chair, Representative Jokey, I appreciate that. You know, I can certainly pledge to look into that issue. Our attempt was to try to draft language that was consistent with what was trying to be done in the Annandale Maple Lake case. I don't know that we would necessarily be opposed if the language was done in such a way to ask for some progress towards reductions. Of course, that's an issue we certainly would pledge to work with in conference committee. This language is in the Senate finance bill, and so we would certainly pledge to work with folks like Representative Wagenius to try to provide more comfort if that's desirable.
Other question? I have a question with regard to now it says here that the pollution control agency may issue the permit if that discharge did not result in increased loading to impaired waters. And if the who will make that determination as to whether it's increasing to the impaired waters or what type of measurement? What standard are we using here?
Mr. Chair, and I'm sure that there are folks at the agency that could provide better technical information. My understanding is that when a permit is applied for, if it's discharging to an impaired water, the evaluation can be done in the permitting process through the agency.
Could I have someone from the agency come back down?
Mr. Chairman, members, I think in response to this, what I think this first part of the amendment is saying is that we may issue a permit for a new discharger or an expanding discharger if they do not increase the load in this, let's say, phosphorus in this case. So if there is zero phosphorus in the discharge, we may issue a permit. And that is currently what we would do. So this is unnecessary.
Well, it says that, as I read it on, it says the increase in, you can issue the permit if the loading is offset by reductions. And when it says to the impaired water, is that really identifying us as to exactly where we're at? What I'm concerned about is that legislation like this often sets up litigation.
Oh, you bet.
And instead of issuing permits, they have to drag us through courts. And to have nothing, you know, I mean, I understand the motivation of people that like to do court cases. You know, attorneys love that. So I'd like to know that this is actually not setting us up for a lot of legal costs. I want dollars to go for cleaning up Minnesota waters. I don't want dollars to go towards legal costs. And what my understanding is that this offset is exactly what the agency has been attempting to accomplish and that we are currently having litigated. So it seems that this may add on to that problem and just muddy the waters up even further, no pun intended. So.
Mr. Chairman, members, to reiterate, we believe this language in total is unnecessary. The authorities that we believe we have to do offsets and permit discharge trading and things of that sort exist under our current authorities, and the Supreme Court will be rendering a decision sometime after their oral arguments on May 3rd. Also, just as an aside, in the Annandale Maple Lake case, I believe there was an offset. I believe that the facility that Litchfield, which was a facility that was reducing by 50,000 pounds of phosphorus, its discharge,
compared to the proposed new discharge of on the order of 2,000 pounds from Annandale Maple Lake. So that was more than a one-to-one. But that's what's being litigated right now. And I think our view right now is we should let that run its course and allow the application of federal law to be interpreted, and then we can move forward.
Okay. Other questions? Members, I'd recommend that we oppose this amendment. With all due respect to my vice chair.
Well, Mr. Chair, it's in the Senate bill, so I'll withdraw it.
Okay.
I'll withdraw it. I'd rather do that than upset the apple cart here on this. You guys can fight it out in the conference committee. How's that?
Thank you very much, Representative. I think we did get a couple of other amendments in there that you were looking for comfort language, and we accomplished that.
Oh, yeah. I'm just happier than a clam.
Okay, we have, let's see if this one works. Let's do the 07 amendment, AMD 07. And along with that is a letter that has dated April 7th from the State Department of Finance. And what we're, members, what we have here is a situation where the there are some U.S. Corps of Engineers has some campgrounds that have evidently they are prepared to no longer use and to shut down for public use, and they're asking the state of Minnesota to step in. And could we ask someone from the Department of Natural Resources to come down and explain the issues? There they are. We turn around on a dime, so you got to... Welcome to the committee, and we're just explaining that we're putting the amendment before us with regard to the Corps of Engineer campsites. If you give us some background on that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members, and Courtland Nelson is just entering the room here. He can provide you more specific detailed information. Recently, we were informed from the Army Corps of Engineers that their intent was to close six federal campgrounds located at the Mississippi headwaters in the state of Minnesota. These are large water recreation campgrounds located at Pokegma, Cross Lake, Winnipegoches, Big Sandy, Gull Lake, and Leech Lake. The letter that you have before you describes the financial pressures, and we did pass out, though we did not have enough, well, maybe we do now, the red folders that have brochures and some more detailed information in them. At this point in time, I'd like to turn it over to Courtland Nelson, our Director of Parks and Recreation, to walk you through some of that more detailed information.
Mr. Chairman, members, we realize the timing of this is a bit odd. We were notified 2-3 weeks ago prior to an announcement about the closure of these facilities. That announcement was made by the Corps. And the background to that, I think, has everything to do with the Corps of Engineer funding and their primary mission, which is dam management, not providing recreation. Around the country, many state parks systems and county park systems run Corps facilities, and we are following somewhat a premise that we have discovered in our investigations of what might work. To the issue at hand, the original proposal by the Corps was that DNR look at taking over these sites for the summer in order to essentially help the federal government out of their particular budget issues. In that dialogue, we responded that while that may be a notable thing to try and do, our interest, if there was one, was going to be in the long-term opportunities that these facilities would provide on these lakes. The information that you have gives you a feel for the type of facilities that they have. I can underscore some of those by way of summary statements. These facilities have been around in one form or another for close to 100 years. They are owned completely by the Corps of Engineers. They have finished investing recently on major renovations, and our site inspections, which we had 2 weeks ago, was confirmed that these are all in quite fine shape, and we would not see the need that there would have to be any capital investments on the short term. That was something we were concerned about, because it's often the case that with an opportunity also goes a liability, and that in fact that was not the case. These facilities, as one might suspect, are really related to the spring, summer, and fall boating activities of Minnesotans and residents. They all have at least half of the sites are developed in terms of electricity and water, very nice restroom, showers. I assume some of you who've camped at these or have stayed at these have boated at them, so you're familiar with the general layout. The opportunity for us is really based on the presentation of an agreement with the federal government to provide that which we don't have, which is on these lakes a ready-built DNR facility that could serve those needs. We were very curious about the management of the sites, and I have not made copies, but we get quite detailed numbers in terms of the dollars that go into what categories for what activities there. So the operational dollars, both the labor as well as the annual operating, are based on the Corps' hard numbers. There's some filtering that we had hoped to go through that would provide us a DNR picture of what both the revenue would be and what the cost of operation would be. Our summary evaluation on this short-term effort is that the annual operating would probably be pretty close to what the Corps is. They have both service contracts, Mr. Chairman, they have staff that they hire on a seasonal basis, and they have full-time people who work there and co-manage the dam as well as provide some supervision at the site itself. The current proposal then with the Corps was that rather than them manage a couple of the sites through the summer and close for others, if they would co-mingle their dollars and run them to July 1st, and then pending your approval and that of the governor's, then DNR State Parks would take over the management on July 1st with the beginning of the new FY. We would receive the revenues, we would simply take over their operations for this year, and then over the course of the year, again pending your approval, sign long-term management agreements. That's the outline for the plan. It might be best, Mr. Chairman, if I answer any questions you might have with the time frame.
Members, this came to us very recently, and it is about, they're indicating about $1 million worth of costs over and above the revenues that they would be bringing in. I've earmarked $200,000 for this to try and get it into the bill so it can be going forward for discussion. I don't know where we'll find the other dollars if needed, but at least it keeps it in the play. But we're taking it from the state park account in natural resources. So is what the proposal is. Are there any questions specifically with the 07 amendment? Okay, because this has not been before us before, is there anyone in the audience who wants to speak for or against, specifically against the 07 amendment? Okay. The 07 amendment is before us. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails. Amendment is passed. Representative Hackworth.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have the 1528 amendment.
Representative Hackworth moves the 1528 amendment.
This is an issue that was before our committee, and I believe it had some bonding attached to it, but he took the bonding, Representative Beard took the bonding portion out. This is an issue that the Watershed District needs, and I had, here he comes now, Mr. Ray Bone, I think, will come down and speak to the amendment. I think it's not a very contentious issue whatsoever.
Okay. Welcome to the committee. Very briefly.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Ray Bone. I'm here representing the Minnesota Association of Watershed District, and Terry Schwabe, who's the administrator from Lower Minnesota, is here with me as well. This legislation was a bill Senator Representative Beard introduced, was heard in the Policy Committee was also heard in this committee and was re-referred to local government because it had some bonding provisions. We have since double-checked with the attorney that helped draft the bill and come to conclusion that those bonding provisions were not necessary in the legislation, so we dropped them off, and as a result, that's what you have in front of you today. And we're asking, because of the timing that we ran into with the issues, that you place it in this bill.
Okay. Any questions from members? Okay, the motion occurs to on Amendment 1528. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails. Amendment is passed.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Hackburn. We have House File 15, or the Amendment 1536. I'd like to move that amendment. Remember, this is a, the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency has some ongoing activities with regard to carbon sequestration. And they have been trying to, or working on this with, it's my understanding, with the University of Minnesota and others. And I'd like to have a report come back to us with regard to that particular issue so that we can become more familiar with that. The current activity that they have is kind of ongoing at the department, but there isn't anything that specifically asks them to come back and report this to us. And so I asked for this language to be put together so that we could become better familiarized with this particular issue. I think it's a big one. We're talking about where we can actually start to move forward with regard to the emission of carbon and start to sequester some of that and store it via nature and or other methods in order to be able to try and deal with some of the climate issues that our world is facing. And so, again, future legislators better up to speed on it. I thought this report would be helpful.
Okay.
And would appreciate your support. Any questions? Representative Wagenius.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just so we could get lots of other folks involved to understand, on line 1.8, would you be willing to say members instead of chairs?
I will incorporate deleting the word chairs and inserting members on line 8.
And apparently on line 1, down 16, too.
And also on line 16, deleting chairs and inserting members.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. That's the intent, is to try and get us all kind of up to speed on this one, more than what we have in the past. And they have some obligation by the department to report back to the legislature. Any other questions on 1536? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The amendment as amended is, or as changed, is adopted. Let's see, what else do we have? Okay, members, we have the bill before us as amended. It's House File 3012. As amended, are there any further questions? Okay, we have... as before, members will instruct staff to make changes as needed in order to reflect accurately the actions of the committee, and that the spreadsheet that has been presented by Mr. Reinholz earlier would stand, the numbers of that spreadsheet stand as the correct numbers. Anything else? Okay, the motion would be that House File 3012, as amended, would be recommended to pass and be referred to the Ways and Means Committee. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails. Bill is passed. Thank you very much, members. Appreciate your help.